still digging for possible survivors. And some heavy equipment is starting to move the rubble in Port-au-Prince. CBS's Kelly Cobier is there.
This man lost his wife. This woman just found her three-year-old son. He's trapped in the debris of their home.
And no one's come? No one's come to help?
Nobody's come.
This woman found her loved one dead in a pile of concrete. Her neighbors helped bring out the body. They have no choice now but to help themselves as best they can.
They need water, they need this, they need that. Nobody's not helping, so they're trying to fend for themselves.
In the city's commercial center, crowds are scavenging as much as they can carry from crumpled stores. They've seen no sign of help, so they're fending for themselves. Gangs with machetes rule the streets in this neighborhood. And the competition for supplies is getting fierce.
There's word four Americans were pulled alive today from the rubble of the Hotel Montana. CBS's Jeff Glore says the capital is a study in contrast.
If you're over near the airport, you can go down streets and really see maybe not so much affected. It's almost like nothing happened. But then we went through a neighborhood late last night. No one should ever have to see this. There were bodies and bodies piled in the streets in sometimes very undignified manners. That and a variety of other factors now contributing more and more to what can only be described as this awful stench that is in the air.
Correspondent Byron Pitts at what's left of the largest hospital in Port-au-Prince says scores of the injured are going untreated.
We stopped counting patients at 300.
This location is so low that we're alone.
More than 300 stories of pain and suffering and one trauma doctor.
How are you supposed to take care of hundreds of people by yourself?
Well, that's what we're trying to do right now.
Dr. Tyrone Gill is from Jamaica. He flew in late Tuesday.
How does this compare to anything else you've seen?
This is like a war zone. What we're basically doing here is just amputations. You know, we're not trying.
Amputations?
Pure amputations. That's all we can do right now.
CBS's Peter King says much of the aid that has arrived at the airport is yet to roll out.
There has been so much talk about help is on the way, help is on the way. The people here are asking us, well, if it's on the way, where is it? We see a lot of folks walking in the streets carrying bags with whatever clothing they've got left, sometimes with just a little bit of food.
The U.S. Army says 300 military people have now arrived in Haiti for security and to push out relief supplies. Former President Clinton, who's leading the effort to raise money, says there are ways to go on the web and to text donations.
That is making a huge difference. That money immediately converts into medicine, food, and water. We need that.
In this country, there are scenes of heartbreak in many cities with large Haitian populations, with little or no word from relatives in the quake zone. CBS's Randall Pinkston in New York.
The emotional aftershock of Haiti's earthquake is being felt at the Uniondale High School in New York, where nearly 200 students and staff have strong ties to Haiti.
I want to be in Haiti right now. That's the place I want to see right now.
So far, three staff members and one student know they have lost a loved one.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
Winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snowplows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snowplows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly, and plow far and wide. Very wide. Slow down when approaching a snowplow. They're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snowplow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind a plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snow plows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Your Alameda. Other than that, it's been a quiet start to this morning's commute. No other crashes to get in your way, and CDOT's wrapped up their overnight construction projects. They're not going to mess you up either. Quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be a very mild, nice day today with sunny skies, a high of almost 53 degrees. Currently, it's already 24. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
DU's College of Professional and Continuing Studies offers master's degrees and bachelor's completion for working adults online or evenings. Classes start March 22nd. UniversityCollege.DU.edu. That's UniversityCollege.DU.edu.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
AM760.net.
Oh my.
By the way, Bill Press, no intellectual giant.
I enjoyed his company. He had a warmth and brash humor that made up for his constant references to a former L.A. life. The retinue of women who supposedly still called him long distance every night. His past football exploits. The celebrities he knew.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Out of many, we are one. That while we breathe, we hope. And where we are met with cynicism and doubt, and those who tell us that we can't, we will respond with that timeless creed that sums up the spirit of a people. Yes, we can.
A deal, a final deal on health care could be reached as early as today between the House and the Senate. Thanks to all those big meetings down at the White House. Hello, everybody. With that news, we start off our third hour today of the Bill Press Show on this Friday, January 15. Hello, hello, hello. Good to see you. Thank you for joining us. It is the Bill Press Show, the official morning show of the Obama generation, and we are coming to you live out of our radio studio on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., just down the street from the United States Capitol building where President Obama came up yesterday to meet with House Democrats in their little issues retreat and give a big pep talk on health care and other issues. Down at the other end of the Pennsylvania Avenue at the White House, most efforts focused on getting as much relief to Haiti as we can, as fast as we can, while the search and rescue efforts are still underway. We've got it all covered. Bring it to you. Give you a chance to weigh in as well. The president also yesterday, of course, announcing proposing a big new fee on major banks. 866-55-PRESS is our toll-free number, your ticket to join the conversation at any time, 866-55-77-377. And when it comes to Haiti, don't forget the easiest way that you can help, and we ask you to do so, and we know many, many of you already had, we know from our emails, is to pick up your cell phone. Don't have to write a letter. Don't have to write a check. Don't have to get your credit card out. Pick up your cell phone and text the word Haiti, H-A-I-T-I, just Haiti. Send that to 90999, and that way automatically. $10 will go to the American Red Cross for the relief efforts in Haiti, and $10 will be charged to your phone bill. Hey, as easy as that. Whoever came up with that is just brilliant. This is a whole new concept in disaster relief. I'm sure it'll be used over and over and over again. It's the first time the cell phone technology is being used for major relief effort, and it's for the earthquake victims down in Haiti. It goes to the American Red Cross, so it's important to do, and it's a good cause. Peter Ogburn and Dan Henning in studio here.
Yes, sir.
On this Friday. Good
Bill.
To see you. Good to see you guys.
We decided to come in today.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. In fact, you know, it's like, who could possibly object or suggest that people not reach into their own pockets and send whatever little help they could to Haiti? Can you think of anybody who could maybe... Well, one person I can think of. You'll know the voice.
We've already donated to Haiti. It's called the U.S. income tax.
Yeah. Only Rush Limbaugh could stand up and say, at this time, with this island nation having experienced such total devastation, maybe 50,000 people killed, that's what the American Cross is estimating. And Rush Limbaugh would say, no, don't give any money. I mean, come on. You know, let's not prove to the world that we're generous. Let's prove to the world that we're just stingy. Yeah. Robert Gibbs was asked yesterday about Limbaugh's remarks.
I think to use the power of your pulpit to try to convince those not to help their brothers and sisters is sad. My sense is that most people, though, because they understand we're part of an amazing world, won't listen and instead will seek to help those that they know, because through no fault of their own, have suffered an unspeakable tragedy.
Well, I think Robert Gibbs is half right. Unfortunately, too many people listen to that idiot, but not many people follow his advice, as John McCain discovered in the last election. Hey, on the website as well, don't forget, go to the website today. A couple of very special things for you on our website at BillPressShow.com. Our free podcasts today include yesterday's conversation with Peter Welch, congressman from Vermont, on the tax on bonuses, and our conversation with Mark Halperin, author of the new book Game Change, which is where those Harry Reid comments and stuff about Sarah Palin was reported. They're both up under free podcast. And my column, this week's column on Harry Reid, is up today as well as photos under Press Box. My photos yesterday of my first day on the job as an intern for Senator Bernie Sanders. Check it out. And I have my ID right around my neck right now. We're going to kick off this hour with Stuart Varney from Fox News about the president's plan to levy a fee on the big banks. And Congressman Keith Ellison will be walking in here any minute to join us in studio. But first,
is the Full Court Press.
Other headlines making news. Tiger Woods' first step back to recovery. He is reportedly helping out the Haiti earthquake victims. New York Post reports that hip-hop mogul Russell Simmons says the disgraced golfer has donated $3 million to relief efforts to get 50 EMTs doing triage there. Woods' people, though, have not confirmed or denied the report.
Sending a hospital to Haiti? Yeah, you know.
Be good for him.
That may not save his marriage.
Pete Sampras is not happy with what former rival Andre Agassi said about him in his latest book, Open. The tennis star would like to meet, quote, man to man and talk about the declarations. Mm-hmm. Like Agassi saying Sampras was dull with a lack of inspiration and more robotic than a parrot.
I actually kind of agree with Agassi on that, but, you know.
And if,
duel it out.
Yeah.
And if going up to space wasn't getting people high enough, NASA says they found cocaine in the shuttle processing area of the Kennedy Space Center. A small bag of the drug was found
in the shuttle?
No, in the processing area. The shuttle Discovery's hangar, where the shuttle sits. There's only access for about 200 people to the restricted area. Everyone is going to be drug tested.
Flying high. You got it. All right, here we go. 13 minutes after the hour now on this Friday, President Obama. Yesterday, he's expressed some anger before at the big banks on Wall Street for the mess that they got us in. Yesterday, he said, we want to try to do something about that, suggesting a financial crisis responsibility fee. That's a fancy word for a new tax on the big banks. How's that sitting on Wall Street? We turn for the first time here in 2010 to our good friend, chief business correspondent for Fox News and the Fox Business Channel, the Honorable Stuart Varney. Hey, Stuart, Happy New Year.
Hello, Bill. Happy New Year to you, too.
How you doing?
I'm very well, thanks.
All right. So the bank's not too happy, I guess, with this proposed fee. But shouldn't we... Let me just start, Stuart, this way. Here's a very quick bite from President Obama yesterday.
We want our money back, and we're going to get it.
What's wrong with that? We want our money back.
You got it back.
No, not all of it.
You got it back from the banks.
Not all of it.
You forced it on the banks, on some. Some asked for it. It's all been repaid with profit, with interest to the taxpayer. Look, there's a basic issue of fairness here.
Yeah.
Why should profitable banks who have paid back the rescue money now have to bail out the car makers and AIG people, insurance people? Why should they have to do that? But Bill, forgive me for pressing this, but I want you to this forward. I want you to answer me this question. If you take it off the banks because they're profitable, and you give it to somebody else who is not profitable, why stop with banks? Why not go to the oil companies, take their profits off and give it to green energy? Why don't you take it off the drug companies and give it to the poor for health care? Where do you stop with this wealth redistribution?
Well, why don't we stop trying to change the subject, Stuart, and stick to Wall Street here? First of all, on one point, I was at the briefing yesterday, and Gibbs said that they definitely intend to get the money back from the auto industry as well. So at least he said they're not letting them off the hook.
But
I want to come back
Fannie
to some.
How about the $400 billion wrapped into Fannie and Freddie? Going to get that back?
As far as I'm concerned, I hope so, and they should.
But when? When do you think that might happen, Bill?
But no. Let's stick to Wall Street. We've got a proposal on the table here. First of all, a couple of things that you said I would challenge. One is that we forced this money on the banks.
Yes.
Stuart,
yes.
They were failing, and we bailed them out and saved them, and they gladly took it. Now, some of them have paid
wrong.
It back. But we didn't force this on George Bush. Remember, this was George Bush. George Bush didn't force this money on Wall Street. No.
On some of the banks which were failing, the cities of this world and the Bank of America's of this world, yes, the money was forced. The money, they asked for it, and they got it.
Yeah.
But let me take you, I'll quote you chapter and verse, Bill. On Monday, October the 9th, I think that was the precise date, Henry Paulson held a meeting of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, Lower Manhattan. He assembled the nine leaders of the biggest banks in America. He sat on the other side of the table. He slid one single sheet of paper to each of them, and he said, you'll sign this or you will sign it. At that moment, he forced $125 billion onto those banks. Most of them didn't want it. They had to take it.
Stuart.
It was forced down their throats, and that is
a fact,
Bill.
No, you cannot force anybody to take federal money.
Come on, Stuart, you're smarter than that.
No, you can't. Now, they did. Now, what would happen if they had not taken them? They signed the paper. What would happen if they had not signed the paper?
There would have been a run on those banks.
They would have failed, right?
There would have been a run on the banks.
They would have failed.
Because they let them fail. They refused
them. I'm just saying you can't force them to take the money, Stuart.
The money was forced on some of those big banks.
I'm sorry.
They paid it back with interest and profit to the United States government.
Yeah.
And now you want to tax them more to make up for the car makers, the AIGs of this world.
No.
That is unfair. It's basically unfair.
Now, the second thing you said, maybe there's a difference of fact here, but you said that they paid all the money back. According to the White House and the Treasury Department, there's $117 billion that American taxpayers have not gotten back and may not get back without some measure like this fee.
Not from the banks.
Do you dispute that? Well,
not from the banks.
Oh, that's what they're saying.
That is AIG, General Motors, and Chrysler.
No, they're saying actually from the banks that there's $117 billion, right? So what? So let me put it this way, Stuart. I don't know if we accept the fact that there's $90 billion or $80 billion, that we haven't gotten every penny back. Shouldn't there be some way that the taxpayers are made whole again after bailing them out? That's the basic premise, isn't it?
Yes, from the place where the money went.
Right.
General Motors, Chrysler, AIG, Fannie and Freddie.
All across the board. All right, but
AIG, Fannie and Freddie, and GM and Chrysler. What's wrong with that?
And the big banks.
The big banks have paid it. They have largely paid it back. I agree. There is some few billion that's not been paid back. Got it, baby.
All right. And we have a right to get that money back.
Yes.
Okay.
In the form of taxes on profitable banks? I mean, it's just not fair, and it's not a very good way of running your financial system. And I repeat the question, Bill. Who's next?
You know what?
Drug companies are profitable. Why not take their profits off them and give it to the poor?
No, they are taxed. But Stuart, you got to come back to this. I think you're ignoring the fact. I know, but one at a time here, okay? The crisis started on Wall Street. They created this mess. The pharmaceutical companies did not create this mess. The auto industry, they screwed up their own business.
Huh.
But the banks certainly contributed to what happened to the auto industry. And the oil companies didn't create this mess. This was created on Wall Street. And the money, the $700 billion, went to Wall Street, Stuart. So it's proper that the focus be on Wall Street. You on Wall Street are trying to say, look at those guys, look at those guys, look at those guys. I'm saying, look at you.
Why don't you
look at your responsibility?
Why don't you look at the hedge funds, which really made the...
By the way, Stuart...
What about them?
Stuart, you can name a list two pages long. And I will say go after all of them, okay? You're not going to get me on that. Go after all of them.
So what you've done
but
is...
I'm saying you want to leave the banks off the hook.
No.
BS.
No. No, I don't want to take them off the hook. I don't want to put them on the hook. They've already paid back with interest and profit. The Federal Reserve made $50 billion profit out of what they did with the banks.
Good, but there's still $117 billion out there. And that's a lot of money.
Let me return to my initial question.
Yeah.
We are now... Look what's just happened. They've done a deal, the Obama administration's done a deal to exempt municipal unions from the caddy tax, okay? They're going to be exempt. That means they've got to make up at least $50 billion in tax revenue to get this health care reform revenue neutral.
That's
do you know what they propose to
that's
do?
That's
they're
going to
take it off the profitable drug companies.
That's probably a little high.
Expropriation. No, it's not. Expropriation. That's what you're talking about. You've laid down the principle with the banks. Now you're going to extend it to the drug companies. And after that, who's it going to be? Do you really approve of this kind of strong-arm muscle politics in American capitalism? That's not what made us great.
Hey, Stuart, you know what? I absolutely believe that people who have taken advantage, rightfully so, that's what capitalism is all about, and made tons and tons of money, and the pharmaceutical companies are at the head of the list, so does the hospital industry, that yes, yes, they should be willing to contribute back to the country that made them as great as they are. I got to ask you one final question, okay? So how about this, Stuart? Here's the deal. We don't tax the banks. Instead, we put a 50% tax on the bonuses that those obscene bonuses that the executives are getting. What about that?
Why do you always talk about taxes?
No, no, no.
You never met a tax you didn't like.
Why don't you answer my question?
Because it wouldn't work.
Why not?
The British tried that.
Yeah.
You know what happened? They all left. They paid the payment. They simply left.
They went to Switzerland?
Anywhere near the money that they thought it was going to bring in, it was a total failure. And everybody admits it.
Hey,
you want to... America, all you want to do is punish. That's basically behind this.
Hey, Stuart, guess what? Happy New Year. Isn't it great that we can go from one year to the next and we still disagree on just about everything? You're a good sport. Thanks, Stuart, for joining us. I don't know, something happened there to your cell phone. All right, guys, what do you say? 866-55-PRESS, two points of view on these bonuses and on the fees. I think the president's done absolutely the right thing.
Every time I turn the Bill Press Show, I get pumped up.
You're listening to the official morning show of the Obama generation.
Well, I don't need coffee. I throw the coffee out the window.
This is the Bill Press Show.
When did your life stop being fun? When did you start giving in to your anxiety, your worry, your fear, and depression? At what time did you stop being able to snap out of it? If being happy seems like something you'll never...
Hi, it's Bill Press here. Did you know that 100 million Americans have borderline cholesterol? 100 million. That's almost a third of the country. So what should you do to avoid cholesterol problems? Well, first, like me, you ought to go to your doctor and get checked out every year. I mean, you don't want something like high cholesterol sneaking up on you. And while you're at the doctor's, ask them about garlic. Garlic's clinically proven ingredient helps maintain healthy cholesterol levels. Garlic guarantees the effectiveness of its ingredients, so it's not surprising that pharmacists recommend it the most. And unlike other brands, you only have to take one garlic caplet a day, not five or six. Garlic is also very safe. It's all natural, and thankfully, it's also tasteless and odor-free. So remember, if you want to avoid cholesterol problems, eat right, exercise, and take garlic. Look for garlic in the vitamin aisle of your pharmacy and use as directed. Fight higher cholesterol. Eat right, exercise, and take garlic.
Your anxiety, your worry, your fear, and depression. At what time did you stop being able to snap out of it? If being happy seems like something you'll never feel again, it doesn't have to feel that way. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. I suffered for over 20 years with anxiety, depression, and panic attacks until I took control of my life. That's why I founded the Midwest Center, so people like us could have somewhere to turn to find help. And to help you even more, I'm giving away my powerful free CD to everyone who calls in. You deserve to be happy, and there really is something you can do to help yourself, starting right now. Please call for your free CD. Call now.
Please call right now and we'll send you a powerful, life-changing CD. Absolutely free. Call 1-800-591-0194. That's 1-800-591-0194. 1-800-591-0194.
Peter Baruch, Senior Compliance Director for the Business Software Alliance.
Pirating software is serious. It hurts software developers, our economy, and it's illegal. If software is copied illegally at your workplace, report it to the BSA. It's the right thing to do.
Report software piracy confidentially, and you may be eligible for rewards of up to $1 million. Visit www.nopiracy.com. Otherwise, call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. Also, you can use Bing or Google, and simply input BS.
Attention business owners, don't rent electricity, own it. Learn now at Independent Power Systems Commercial Solar Event. The Coors Field Solar experts will show you how your business can go solar with low upfront costs and how rebates and federal tax grants can yield a 5 to 7 year ROI. Boulder County business owners can take advantage of the Climate Smart Loan Program to go solar for zero down and one annual payment. Green your business with solar and never pay another electric bill. Learn how in Boulder, Tuesday, January 26th at the St. Julian Hotel and Tuesday, February 2nd at the Dairy Center for the Arts. Visit solarips.com/KKZN for details or call 303-443-0015. In the neighborhood, drop by our Boulder office January 21st at 7 p.m. for the Solar Community Night. Visit solarips.com/KKZN for details or call 303-443-0015. Call 303-443-0015 for details or visit solarips.com/KKZN.
You'll qualify for a 30% tax credit. The goal is to offer a personalized solution to your heating and air conditioning needs to help you maximize your efficiency and reduce your carbon footprint. Call Major Geothermal and Can America Drilling today, 303-424-1622, 303-424-1622, or online at majorheating.com. Start living greener today.
Sirota, mornings at 7, Mario afternoons at 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
This is the Bill Press Show.
27 minutes after the hour, the Bill Press Show here. President Obama proposing a fee on the biggest banks, those that have over $50 billion in assets, in order to get our money back. Jake calling from Eureka, California. Hey, Jake.
Hey, Bill. How's it going?
All right.
You know, the Great Recession was no act of God. Our economic downturn was caused by the bankers themselves.
Yeah, yes.
Now, the houses of these billionaires on Wall Street don't want to pay their taxes. That's the least they can do is pay their taxes to help stimulate the economy to get people working again. They should be happy. Those criminals on Wall Street should be happy they're not going to prison, Bill.
Look, Jake, I couldn't agree more. And definitely, we at least ought to tax them to the point that we get our money back. Joan's calling from New Brunswick, New Jersey. Hi, Joan.
Hey, good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
Hey, the big thing that Stuart kept forgetting was that any money we paid to AIG flowed directly to these big bankers on those insurance contracts, insuring them against losses on their bad bonds they wrote.
Yeah, and you know, AIG may not be one of the, they're not a bank, right? They're not one of the 50 banks, obviously. But AIG is not off the hook. Neither are the auto industry, neither the pharmaceuticals, neither is anybody else. The bankers just don't want to accept their responsibility here. Look, they brought us to our knees to the brink of the greatest economic crisis since the Great Depression. We saved their butts. And now they just want to go back to business as usual and pay these obscene bonuses and bear no responsibility for it. That is total caca. I don't care what Stuart Varney says. Of course, he works for Fox News. What do you expect?
This is the Bill Press Show.
Hi.
Of all the things made just for women, like
shoe sale, floor 7.
Or
good, now let your muscles relax.
Maybe this is one of the most important. Centrum Ultra Women's, a scientifically advanced complete multivitamin for women. It also has vitamin D, which emerging science suggests helps support breast health, and more calcium for bone health. Centrum Ultra Women's. More calcium refers to leading women's multivitamin brands. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Harsh winter weather can leave your skin itchy, red, irritated, and dry, even if you're all bundled up. Now, feel the heal like never before with Cortisone 10 Intensive Healing. It has a unique blend of 7 moisturizers, including soothing aloe and 3 vitamins for 24-hour healing, plus the strongest itch relief medicine available without a prescription. This winter, for dry, itchy, irritated skin, even eczema, get Cortisone 10 Intensive Healing and feel the heal. Use as directed.
Hi, this is Dave Logan speaking for the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. Colorectal cancer is now the second leading cancer killer in the U.S. However, it can be prevented with a screening test that finds and removes small growths in the colon called polyps before they become cancerous. Men and women 50 and older should talk to their doctor about colorectal cancer screening. In health, as in football, winning starts with a good defense.
Call the American Cancer Society at 1-866-227-7914.
Kevin Richards is concerned about sending his identity out into the world.
Oh, no. No, what now?
Hey, Kev, you know how you're always going on how I can't protect myself?
Yeah, because you can't.
I can. I'm taking karate. Any of those bad guys try to snatch me up? Ooh, whammo.
Wait, stop. Stop, okay? No, you're just a bundle of numbers and personal data.
Who can handle himself? Ah, hi-ya!
And you broke it.
You see that? Karate.
Wondering where your identity goes? It's time to get total protection from Identity Guard. You'll get the kind of protection and information that helps you keep track of what your identity is up to 24/7, so you know what's going on. It's protection no matter where your identity goes. Identity Guard, making it okay to trust again.
Did you know that you can also use a credit card as a weapon?
Ow! Okay, now I do know.
Visit IdentityGuard.com today. That's IdentityGuard.com.
There is never a good time for your sewer line to plug up. Declare war on that blockage. Drain Solvers provides top quality drain cleaning and router services and will break through any blockage. Let Drain Solvers camera your sewer pipe for only $79 and clean your drain for $99. Mention this special when you call. Drain Solvers, the trenchless pipe repair specialists. Drain Solvers does whatever it takes to solve your plumbing problem. Call 303-423-1000. That's 303-423-1000. Or DrainSolvers.com. Access fees may apply.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, if you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation. Pat.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. 33 minutes after the hour here, the Bill Press Show on this Friday, January 15. Hey, you know, when you're on Capitol Hill, Washington, D.C., you never know who's in the neighborhood. You never know who's going to stop by. And we're very happy to see a good friend this morning. First visit here for the year 2010, the Honorable Keith Ellison, Congressman, Democratic Congressman from Minnesota. How are you doing, Congressman?
Doing really well, man. You know, we were just walking by. We saw a good coffee shop. We figured we'd stop in on you.
All right. Good to see you. I just want you to know, I don't know whether you see this little thing hanging around my neck here. I am now an official intern for Senator Bernie Sanders.
I think you've hit the big time.
How about it?
Yeah. You're doing it, man. I knew you could make something of yourself, Bill. It was going
to
happen.
I went over yesterday, and they showed me how to work the copy machine. And,
oh, wow. You got to push that button that says start.
And the senator called while I was in the office, and he said, get to work!
well, of course, that's kind of what they do, right?
Yeah.
Now that he's an intern, by the way, Congressman, he makes the best cappuccinos.
Oh, dude.
He's like a chemist when he gets in there. He's just so good.
The mixture's just... It's perfect.
Maybe someday I'll get my house credentials too.
Then you know what? Things are in your future, brother.
Hey, a lot of serious issues on the table today, Congressman. Most of the focus has been the last couple of days at the White House and the Congress, and focusing whatever efforts, relief efforts we could get down to the poor people of Haiti. What do you hear about how things are going?
Well, you know,
you've been down there, haven't you?
Yes, yeah. And I can tell you that they don't have any infrastructure. There's no sewage system in Port-au-Prince. Even in the good times, there's not. So when there's a catastrophic event like this earthquake, you know, it really does exacerbate things. I will say, you know, hats off to the Obama administration. He articulated a clear, concise vision for how to help the people of Haiti. He was reassuring. He was empathetic, and he marshaled the resources to really help get things going and deal with this disaster relief, which is in sharp contrast to our prior president, who had a lot of difficulty addressing issues of disaster. In fact, his disaster efforts were a disaster. And I don't think it's good to be, you know, try to be funny about a serious subject.
No.
But it is true, you know, that when it came, that Obama has clearly taken a hold of this thing, and I'm very proud of the effort that he's pursuing right now.
Not everybody appreciates, as you do, the rapidity with which, or the strength with which the Obama administration responded, or why they did so. Here's another talk show host and his take on it.
Another this will play it. Right into Obama's hands. Humanitarian, compassionate. They'll use this to burnish their credibility with the black community in both light-skinned and dark-skinned black community in this country. It's made to order for him. That's why he couldn't wait to get out there.
So that's why he's doing it. Just trying to mollify the black community, Congressman, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that, you know, he's just an incredibly cynical person. I'd like for Mr. Limbaugh to just try to consider the lives of the people who are in Haiti, and that it's a basic humanitarian response that all Americans, I mean, this is really, you know, insulting to all Americans. To sort of say that our compassion runs on melanin content, you know, it's ridiculous, it's absurd, and it's why, you know, despite a 10% unemployment rate that we inherited from Republicans, despite all of the problems with bank bailout that we also got from them, despite the fact Democrats are kind of fighting to clean up the mess, and because of that, you know, we are in a really tough election year. That we're still going to prevail because we are dealing with a spokesman like him.
Yeah.
You know,
this proves what a low life he is. President Obama yesterday, on a more positive note, President Obama said, basically, look, the banks were in trouble in Wall Street. We didn't let them fail. Maybe we should have, but we bailed them out, and we want our money back. So he proposed a little fee on the banks, which will last until we get our $117 billion back. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Perfectly fair, perfectly understandable. I guess from what my reading of the financial papers, the Wall Streeters didn't like it none too much.
Yeah, guess what, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is,
you want your money back?
Yeah, they would rather take that money
right.
and pay it out in bonuses
right.
than pay them back to American taxpayers.
Hey, we had plans for that money, Mr. Obama. What are you talking about?
I guess, yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to give it out for Christmas bonuses. Or
right. You know,
bonuses.
Look, I only got a house in Malibu. I need another one in, you know, I don't know, name another hot spot. The fact is, these guys are operating in another plane of universe than the rest of America. They have not figured it out yet. Wall Street has not really gotten it yet. And they're going to have to start. There's some CEOs who are taking like, oh, I'm only going to work for a dollar, whatever. But the fact that they acknowledge that the rest of the country is really hurting, and they who've caused this thing along with their Republican facilitators haven't really gotten the picture yet, you know, is really upsetting. So I think that another good move by Barack Obama. I mean, I think the fee is fair. I will be an adamant supporter of it, like I am the one of Peter Welch, who introduced Wall Street bonus tax legislation.
He's got the tax on the 50% tax on the bonuses.
Yeah, right. And Dennis Kucinich has a good one, too. So I think there's a lot of momentum in the House and a lot of will to do this. And I'm going to tell you, in 2010, we got to make some jobs. Are we going to be looking for them ourselves? And we got to deal with this bank issue. And we've got to, and I'm going to tell you this, I think, and we've got to nail down health care, which, of course, is.
Right. I'll get to health care in just a minute. But on this, back on this bank fee, it's got to go through Congress.
Right. Right.
Now, so are the Republicans really going to stand up and oppose this and filibuster it and defend the big banks and say, we don't deserve to get our money back?
Well, you know, I really believe that, I mean, I always hope they do the right thing,
I hope they stand up and express the level of outrage that we do, because it's the right thing to do. But
and that
will
the American
they,
people feel toward Wall Street.
Right. And will they? Will you know, they're going to get to, you know, indicate to the American people whose side they're on. They're going to get to do that. And I hope they make the right choice, because I love America. But maybe they won't. Lord knows they have a history of doing weird things.
On health care, it is reported, you know, they've had these marathon meetings down at the White House with the leadership, with the president. He's certainly involved in this level of negotiations.
He's hands-on.
Yeah, very much so. Yesterday it was reported that, the union's very much opposed to the Senate version of how to pay for this.
Yeah.
With a tax on certain health insurance plans, which included a lot of union plans. Because
right.
they were... These are plans that, as you know, workers negotiated for.
Right? Yeah.
Now, the compromise, as we understand it, would take out no tax on any insurance plans that were the result of collective bargaining. So the unions would be off the hook on this.
Well, they would defer it.
Deferred until 2017.
Yeah. Right.
Acceptable compromise in...
You know what? Let me tell you this. The idea of that we're going to tax... plans of workers to pay for health care after the feeding frenzy of tax cuts and deregulation of the last 10 years makes me pretty disgusted. You know, I don't like the idea. The fundamental question is it enough for me to vote? No. That's what I've got to contemplate. I'm going to be talking with, I'm not a doctrinaire legislator. I try to really dig into the legislation and know whether this is the right thing, but the principle of tax and benefit plans is disgusting. But if union leadership, who feels like this is a reasonable compromise, says that this is a reasonable compromise, then I will relook at it and we'll see. But in my gut level reaction is that it's just bad. We should have a surtax on wealthy individuals, and that's how we should pay for this. But
surtax on healthy individuals is
wealthy
the
individuals.
Way wealthy individuals. Yeah, thank you. Not always the same healthy.
Right, right.
And certainly not wise. But
right.
That is the House version, which makes sense, right? These mm-hmm. are the people that have had a tax bonanza for the last 8 or 9 years.
Mm-hmm. They should fork it over. I mean, and it's not about soaking the rich. Some people want to turn it into that. I believe that all Americans, particularly Americans who have been blessed by the ability to engage in enterprise in America, ought to want to help America. What's wrong with that? I mean, we have young people signing up for the military every day, young people going to Job Corps, all kinds of things that Americans do to help this country. Why wouldn't people who have been most blessed financially want to say, you know what, I'll kick in to make sure that a single mom with two kids can have some health care?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they want to do that? I don't know.
So let me ask you, I'm a proud liberal. And,
me too.
And
so bleeding heart.
Right, exactly. And yep. So are you. So this year, right, look what we got. We didn't get anything on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. We didn't get single payer. We didn't get a public plan option. We didn't get the tax on the wealthy for health care. I mean, you go down the list of didn't get to do anything about the Defense of Marriage Act.
Yeah.
Do you think liberals have, do you feel as a liberal that we've just been taken advantage of this year and taken for granted?
No, I feel like we got a long list of things we got to do, but we also did pass the Lilly Ledbetter. We did pass the credit card a bill to protect credit card holders. We did regulate tobacco. I mean, we got some good stuff, and I think that and if I had my list, I could crank off more.
Yeah.
I think we've made historic progress toward health care reform, although that's still there's a lot still to be decided, including the public option and other things like that. But the thing is that I think it's very important for liberals to take stock of what we have done. I think we need to just rededicate ourselves to the things we need to do. Look.
And keep up the fight.
Keep
right?
up the fight. What's the toughest job in the circus? Cleaning up after the elephants. So we've got to. We can't. This is. It took them a long time to screw up this country, and it's going to take us a long time to fix it. So we can't. We gotta be like. We've got to be fixed on it. We got to be fighters. We got to be committed.
Okay, I'm Congressman. We're about to take a break here. Now I know you've got to get out of the house, but I was just. Told by our producer, who has just talked to your assistant, that you could stay for another couple of minutes.
So let's do it. I'm here.
Keith Ellison, you got it. Congressman Keith Ellison on the bank fee, on the bonus, on his health care compromise, on Haiti, 866-55-PRESS, 866-55-77-377. We'll be right back.
Every time I turn the Bill Press Show, I get pumped up.
You're listening to the official morning show of the Obama generation.
Well, I don't need coffee. I throw the coffee out the window.
This is the Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Is your car payment dragging you down? Are you struggling to pay too many bills and need more cash? How would you like to save thousands of dollars a year on your car payments for free? The specialists at Guidian want to help you cut your monthly car payments for free. They can help you modify your current high-interest loan or find other options to save you money fast. There is no cost or obligation to find out more. Guidian gives you several options to save money on your monthly car payments. In fact, they will help you find the best solution for your individual financial situation. You can save as much as 50% on your car payments. Call for free information now. 800-257-5919. That's 800-257-5919. Don't wait until the bank takes your car. Get more room in your budget now and save thousands of dollars a year in high-interest car payments. For free information about this revolutionary free service, call now. 800-257-5919. That's 800-257-5919.
Live from Progressive.
Next on the line is Jake.
Hey, Flo. Years ago, I just went with my dad's auto insurance company. Could I be paying too much?
Maybe. But when we compare Progressive Direct rates to other top companies, you could save hundreds.
Hundreds!
Hundreds!
Hundreds! Is there an echo in here?
Compare and save. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or go to progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Where can you find the best Indian, Nepal, and Tibetan cuisine? The Yak and Yeti Restaurant and Brew Pub. Family-owned, the Yak and Yeti serves lunch from 11 to 3 and dinner from 5 to 9:30, 7 days a week. And they offer vegan and vegetarian menus. Visit one of their two great locations, in Arvada on Ralston Road in Old Wadsworth and 86th and Sheridan in Westminster. Mention this ad and get 10% off your bill. TheYakAndYeti.com.
Tom Harbin. Pianos and Pianos, a proud supporter of AM 760, is offering piano lessons for only $19 each. Their state-of-the-art facilities offer grand and vertical pianos, teaching you the joy of playing, as well as learning to write your own music with the latest computer technology. Play all styles, including classical, new age, contemporary, gospel, and more. Just $19. Yes, that's only $19. Only at Pianos and Pianos. Call 303-933-9390. That's 303-933-9390.
Own help repair the damage after your identity or credit cards are stolen. Learn why this police chief chose LifeLock.
KKZN listeners, call now and mention Radio 10 to receive an additional 10% off. That's like 1 month free. Call 1-800-567-5594. 1-800-567-5594. That's 1-800-567-5594. 1-800-567-5594.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
You're listening to the official morning show of the Obama generation.
12 minutes.
It's the Bill Press Show.
Hey, it's 12 minutes ago now before the top of the hour. Happy Friday, January 15. In studio with us, Congressman Keith Ellison, Democrat from Minnesota. We're going to see each other next Saturday night.
We're going to hang out in Minneapolis.
At the Blue State Ball.
I'm going to order some nice weather for you.
What does that mean? A 12 above?
Yeah, you know, okay, 12 above. I was thinking about 5, but you know, 12 for you. Anything for you, Bill.
Out at AM 950, KTNF, put together by Janet Robert and a great staff out there. It's going to be a lot of fun, the Blue State Ball. Hope to see many of you out there. So we've got health care, we've got Haiti, we've got the bonus tax, and we got the bank fee. Mark calling from Nashville, Tennessee. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Bill, I called you yesterday, too. I was in Albuquerque. I drive a truck, so I kind of move around a little bit.
Man, you're on the road. Yeah, what's up?
Well, what I wanted to know is my employer, and I the congressman to respond to this, my employer, I make a good wage, and I have very good insurance. But on this proposal yesterday, I'm not a union member. And my company's not union, but under the plan yesterday, my insurance is going to be taxed 40%. Mm. A union member is not going to be taxed 40%.
Yep.
And I'm just wondering what makes their situation any better than mine. He just said that, you know, he's against any workers' taxes, insurance being taxed. I mean, where's the fairness in this?
Got your question, Mark. Take your answer on the air. Why you were saying, I think, Congressman, that this is not such a good deal.
Well, that's why I don't like the deal. But at the end of the day, let me just tell you, Mark, Congress is a set of negotiations. So what happens is that somebody makes a proposal, and if they got enough votes to carry it, then the people who don't like it will fight back and say, wait a minute, don't do this to the people who I represent. And then maybe those people will carve out their thing. If you're one of the unfortunate few who don't have anybody going swinging for you, then sometimes you get the short end of the stick. In my opinion, if they tax your benefits, that would be incredibly unfortunate. You are one of the people who I'm fighting for here, and I don't want to see any working person's benefits tax at all. Maybe we need to raise the ceiling on this. I'd be interested to know how much per year you're paying for health care, because that would help me understand whether or not that you would actually be hit by this tax or not. Because one of the things they're saying, Mark, is that only a small number of people would be hit by the tax. Well, my thing is, well, maybe these people need a higher cost health care plan because they have that kind of medical need. So let's talk about that.
And also, as we've learned, because we've been talking about that a lot this week, Congressman, and as you know, I'm sure, that some of these higher cost health care plans have nothing to do with whether you're a union member or not, like Mark.
Yeah.
It could be you're a woman. Women are charged higher because, you know, they have sometimes more needs to call on the system, or older people, or where you live in the country.
And so, look, you know, a guy like Mark or a woman or where you live in the country could all be the reason that the plan is a higher cost, and then you're going to get either a lesser benefit because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, folks are going to you're going to pass a tax on, or you're going to reduce the benefit.
Yep.
So now Mark has a lesser benefit than he needs because, you know, the deal got cut a certain way. Mark, I'm saying it's not fair. We're going to keep fighting for you, but, you know, you need to call me and other folks to stick up for you.
John's calling from Atlanta. Hey, John.
How you doing?
All right. What's up?
Well, I don't like the congressman's plan either. I think I read the figure somewhere around 70% of the small business owner, or 70% of the people who make over $200,000 or $250,000 a year are small business owners. Their income.
Ask your question. And we'll jump in. Yeah.
Their income is personal income on their tax returns. So therefore, if his company makes $250,000 a year, yet his salary is only $50,000, he's going to be taxed because his company, and therefore himself, has received $250,000.
All right, John, we got your question. So the tax, the House version, he says, isn't unfair either. I question that figure about $250,000 for small businesses. I've seen just the opposite.
I think the caller has a few of the numbers not exactly right. But let me just say, to go to the more what I think is the heart of the question, look, paying taxes is not a penalty or a infliction of pain on you for the sake of it. It is the dues and the investment that all of us pay to live in an ordered society. The fact is that you are paying anyway with the 50 million people who are uninsured. We all have to toss in here. Now, I think you're right. It should be fair. It should be equitable. But, you know, can we leave the era of American history when taxes are regarded as some evil? It is something we all have to do on a fair basis to make sure we have a good society. And if you doubt that, go to a society where there's no taxes at all. You won't like it.
Congressman, the other day somebody pointed out that if you were making $700,000, right?
Yeah.
Under the House plan, you'd pay an extra $7,500 in taxes. I just want you to know I could live on $692,500 a year.
I could scrape by. I might have to, like, reduce one of my summer homes, but whatever.
Whatever. Congressman Keith Ellison, Happy New Year. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
I'll be back with the parting shot.
You got it, buddy.
The Bill Press Show continues.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Is your car payment dragging you down? Are you struggling to pay too many bills and need more cash? How would you like to save thousands of dollars a year on your car payments for free? The specialists at Guidian want to help you cut your monthly car payments for free. They can help you modify your current high-interest loan or find other options to save you money fast. There is no cost or obligation to find out more. Guidian gives you several options to save money on your monthly car payments. In fact, they will help you find the best solution for your individual financial situation. You can save as much as 50% on your car payments. Call for free information now. 800-257-5919. That's 800-257-5919. Don't wait until the bank takes your car. Get more room in your budget now and save thousands of dollars a year in high-interest car payments. For free information about this revolutionary free service, call now. 800-257-5919. That's 800-257-5919.
Hi, this is Mario for the law firms of Mike Turner and Scott Henderson, proud supporters of AM 760. Turner and Henderson are personal injury trial lawyers who have supported Progressive Talk since the beginning. They've devoted their entire legal careers to handling personal injury claims. They represent real people, not big insurance companies or corporations, and they've been successful at all kinds of personal injury claims. Turner and Henderson, call for free consultation at 303-300-1600.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
We all want the same thing.
Peace.
And Rotary Clubs are making it happen. Through international scholarships for young people to promote peace and understanding around the world. Rotary. Humanity in motion.
Sirota, mornings at 7. Mario, afternoons at 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The Parting Shot with Bill Press. This is the Bill Press Show.
And on this Friday, January 15, my parting shot for today in the battle for strong health care reform legislation. Looks like progressives may have finally won one battle, even if it's a small one. After all, liberals have already had to accept no single-payer legislation, no expansion of Medicare, new restrictive language on abortion, and no public plan option. But thanks to the labor unions, liberals have won one victory, it looks like, over taxation of workers' health care benefits. The Senate bill contains, as we know, a tax on those so-called Cadillac plans. The compromise reached Thursday at the White House would exempt those plans from taxation. All insurance plans won for workers, that is, through the collective bargaining process. It shows labor unions still have some clout. It shows President Obama is willing to listen to their concerns. And it shows that Nancy Pelosi and other liberals like Keith Ellison are not just going to roll over and accept whatever moderates in the Senate want. So we got a compromise on taxing benefits. Now let's see if we can come up with a compromise on a public plan option. Have a great weekend, everybody. And we'll see you right here on Monday.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Anand Pachachi.
Entertain your whole family with 99-cent kids and family movie rentals from Blockbuster. For a limited time, choose from hundreds of kids and family titles, all for just 99 cents each. Stop by your neighborhood Blockbuster store today. At participating stores, excludes new releases, Blu-ray, and games.
Introducing the new Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express. The only charge card that earns triple points on airfare, double points on gas and groceries, a single point on everything else. Points you can use for over a million rewards, including travel on any airline, anytime. The annual fee for the first year is on us, and you can earn 10,000 bonus points with your first purchase. Start earning brilliantly. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit axpgold.com to apply.
See terms, conditions, and restrictions at axpgold.com.
Entertain your whole family with 99-cent kids and family movie rentals from Blockbuster. For a limited time, choose from hundreds of kids and family titles, all for just 99 cents each. Stop by your neighborhood Blockbuster store today. At participating stores, excludes new releases, Blu-ray, and games.
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Peter King in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, where people are asking, where is the help?
I need somebody come on to help, but I don't see anything.
Planes have been flying in and out of this city, but one relief agency worker tells me there's no distribution system, that everything is chaotic and disorganized. When you ask who's in charge, nobody seems to know. For a third straight morning, people are walking the streets looking for food, water, and places to stay. There's been looting, including a big break-in at a UN food warehouse, which held some 15,000 tons of food. Officials say they don't know how much of it is left. I'm Peter King in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Now with more CBS News, here's Dave Barrett.
Four Americans working for IMA World Health were trapped in the Hotel Montana quake debris. They have been pulled out alive, and there's word that 300 U.S. military personnel have arrived in Haiti to get supplies out to people. Cuba says it will allow medical evacuees from Haiti to fly over its airspace to get them to Miami. Krista Brelsford is an American who was volunteering to teach kids and adults how to read there. She was running down some stairs when the quake hit and the building fell.
After I realized I was trapped, I didn't know how long it would take to get me out. I thought that I wasn't badly injured. I thought that I still had both my legs and my toes. I thought that I could wiggle my toes.
The Arizona State University student was airlifted to Miami. Her right leg had to be amputated, but Brelsford says she is just thankful to be alive. The Pentagon has been investigating what led up to the shooting deaths of 13 people at Texas's Fort Hood last November. Live now to CBS's Barry Bagnato. And Barry, some officers who didn't catch quirks in the suspect's behavior may face consequences.
Dave, the findings of the military's probe are expected out in about 3 hours, and the Associated Press reports punishment could be recommended for up to 8 Army officers, all supervisors of the shooter, Major Nadal Hassan. The focus, Hassan's behavior, work habits, and especially his obsession with Islam, red flags that may have been ignored. Reportedly, investigators urged the Pentagon to cooperate more fully with FBI anti-terrorism efforts. Dave?
Consumer prices were not up much last month, up by only 0.1%. A key factor? Increases in gasoline and food costs slowed compared to November. It was a January afternoon 1 year ago today when a bird strike forced U.S. Airways Captain Sully Sullenberger to make a lot of decisions quickly to save everyone aboard his Airbus.
Turn right 280, you can land runway right. 1 at Teterboro.
We can't do it.
Okay, which runway would you like at Teterboro?
We're going to be in Hudson.
It seems like it's been a lot less than a year, although I feel like I've lived about 10 normal lifetimes in this last year because of all the wonderful opportunities we've had.
Sullenberger was on the CBS Early Show this afternoon. At precisely the moment of impact on the Hudson, he and passengers and crew members will toast their good fortune. On Wall Street, a half hour before the opening bell, S&P futures are down about 5. This is CBS News.
Right now at the Home Depot, take 10% off appliances of $398 or more. Plus, get instant savings every day with free delivery and haul away, which combined can save you up to an additional $79. No rebates, no hassles. Brands like GE, Maytag, and LG are more affordable than ever thanks to 10% off appliances and free delivery. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through January 20th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Ah, the perfect Serta mattress. A little plush, a little firm, plenty of support in all the right places. It just makes you want to... Oh. No wonder Serta's called the makers of the world's best mattresses. And you'll always find the best Serta savings at Sam's Club and samsclub.com. With incredible members-only prices, like queens from just $298 and twins from just $99. Get the perfect deal on the perfect Serta mattress today at Sam's Club. Oh. And rest easy. Sam's Club. Savings made simple.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. Local humanitarian organizations are working to get help to Haiti. World Vision's office in Denver says a plane load of relief supplies left yesterday. World Vision facilities in Haiti are heavily damaged but still functioning.
We have World Vision offices in Haiti and development programs going on there all of the time. So when this earthquake did strike Haiti, specifically the capital, we had World Vision staff on the ground who were able to immediately begin responding.
World Vision's Amanda Pennington says they're working to distribute tarps, blankets, cook sets, and collapsible water bottles coming from their warehouse here in Denver. Parents and students came out to protest the Jeffco School Board's plan to close two middle and two elementary schools. One woman says she's ready to pay more taxes to stop that.
We urge the school board to provide us the leadership this district needs in a time of crisis by putting a mill levy on the 2010 ballot.
Late last night, the district decided to close Russell Elementary School but keep two middle schools and an elementary school open. In sports, no Avs or Nuggets last night or tonight, but in football, Elvis Dumervil and Ryan Clady both made the NFL All-Pro team. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Police are cleaning up an accident in Aurora. It's on the ramp 26 Avenue from southbound 225. They mopped up a crash northbound I-25 right around 6th Avenue, so things are looking a little bit better as you're making your way towards downtown as this morning's commute gets up and running. Southbound is on 225, loading up and bogging down after Parker Road as you're making your way towards I-25. Speeds through that stretch are going to be running in the 20s in spots. And remember, the National Western Stock Show going on, so you may find some more traffic this morning on I-70 just east of I-25. Quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be a sunny, mild day with a high of nearly 52 degrees, currently 23. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760. Progressive Talk.
Today at Safeway, you'll find thousands of new, everyday low prices on the things you use every day. Now get everything on your list, all at the price you need. That's their promise. That's ingredients for life. Safeway.
Sirota is not your garden variety liberal.
David Sirota.
He's bright, he's intelligent, he is very committed.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We've got a very busy show for you today. We're going to be joined by a good friend of mine, media scholar Bob McChesney. He's got a new book out called The Death and Life of American Journalism, which is, well, about the death and life of American journalism. He'll be joining us at 7:30. We are, by the way, one of the cities, Denver is, we're one of the cities that that is considered ground zero in the battle for American journalism because of the collapse of the Rocky Mountain News. So it will be an interesting discussion, and I bet you he's going to tell you some history of newspapers that you didn't know, because I've been reading through his book, and the amount that the state subsidizes or used to subsidize newspapers is just incredible. And it's, I think, a lost part of our history. So stick around for that. Then at 8, we're going to be joined in studio by Colorado Savers Mason Tvert. He's going to be joining us for the last 2 hours of the show. We're going to be talking about a lot of different issues. Obviously, one of the issues we'll be talking about is medical marijuana and the continued fight over that. Then at 9, we'll be joined by Christy Harvey for an update on all the stories of the week that we missed. And then at 9:20 in studio, Oscar Blues Brewery from Lyons, and we will be taking your calls about Schmuck of the Week. My Schmuck of the Week, this is an easy one, Pat Robertson. I mean, that's just a no-brainer. Pat Robertson blaming the earthquake and the tragedy in Haiti on Haiti's supposed pact with the devil made 200 years ago when the slaves rose up in Haiti to take back that country from the French colonialists. Unbelievable that Pat Robertson said that. So he is my Schmuck of the Week. We'll be taking your nominations for Schmuck of the Week. You can instant message us, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. And up on our page, the must read of the day is a link to the Nation magazine's list of well-vetted charities that you can give if you are looking to chip in to help with the Haiti rescue and recovery effort there. It really is. Hillary Clinton is really right. It really is a biblical situation there in terms of the disaster, the death and destruction. And so if you can chip in, I hope you will. I made a contribution yesterday to Partners in Health, which is an organization that's been there in Haiti. And it's just tragic right now.
what's going on there. And it's made me think about a lot of different things, and I'm sure it's made you think about a lot of different things. I mean, the first thing that I think a lot of us think about is, could this ever happen in a country like this? Could it ever happen to us? And, you know, I think that one thing you come away with this thinking about, and maybe this is just a real pedestrian kind of thought, but Haiti is a good example of why building codes are so important, right? I mean, that sounds so kind of lame and pedestrian, but it's, you know, in a lot of developing world countries, they don't have building codes. And so thousands of people died in Haiti specifically because of a lack of building codes there. And I'm not picking on Haiti. I mean, it's there in the developing world. But I was in China. The idea of building codes, you know, what a joke. We saw these buildings being built, by the way. And, you know, when you see those metal rods running through concrete of walls, when you're walking downtown in Denver, you're looking at construction in a city like Denver. You know, in the third world, in the developing world, when I was in China, you'd see they just pancake concrete together with no metal inside of it, no girders. And so when there's an earthquake like that, they just collapse. And what it's really gotten me thinking at a deeper level than just could it happen here, and also, obviously, just how tragic it is what's going on there, is our whole notion of what we're willing to do and what we're willing not to do. We have a very, I think, as a country, a very strange attitude when it comes to generosity, the common good, care for fellow human being. There's a lot of discussion in the media, and I think it's fantastic, about how much money we are giving to relief organizations to help with Haiti. And there's apparently going to be a telethon headed by George Clooney coming up to raise money for the terrible tragedy in Haiti. And, you know, I was talking to Emily last night, my wife, and I said, what if President Obama had gone on television and said, for the next month, we're going to institute some kind of tax to raise money for Haiti? And I went through the thought experiment of this, right? Went through the thinking about what would actually happen if this happened. And it would be politicized. And the right would say, remember that video we played a couple of weeks ago where the guy who was at the Sarah Palin rally said, you know, if I want to give money, that's charity. If you tax money from me, that's socialism. But is it? What is our thinking about our fellow man when it comes to actually asking all of us to pitch in? Because that is really, I think, the foundational issue right now in our society. This is the struggle we are having over whether we are going to be a me-first society or whether we are going to be a common good society. You've seen that yesterday in the Wall Street hearings, these big hearings about what went wrong on Wall Street, right? You see the CEOs of the banks not willing to acknowledge that they did anything wrong. I mean, you had one CEO from Goldman Sachs saying this was just like a hurricane, like a natural disaster, like he had nothing to do with it. You heard another said, oh, this comes along every 5 to 7 years, no big deal. You hear pundits across the media, conservative pundits, say they oppose President Obama's meager tax on banks. You hear them oppose taxes on executive pay. You hear Republicans in the Colorado legislature lashing out at Governor Ritter and Democrats for even considering rescinding some of the business tax loopholes, the business tax subsidies that we already give. I was listening to a debate on the way in. Bill Press was talking to Stuart Varney right before I got in. And Stuart Varney was talking about, oh, what are you going to do now? You're going to tax the drug companies. It's expropriation if you tax the drug companies to pay for any part of health care reform. We don't talk about the tax breaks, the huge R&D tax breaks we give to these industries. We don't talk about the corporate welfare, because the corporate welfare we're supposed to think is A-okay. That's just normal. But taxing them, taxing anybody, and nobody wants to pay. We're all willing to give, maybe not all of us, but lots of us are willing to give to a good cause like Haitian relief efforts. But if it was a tax, we would be freaking out. Why is that? And I know some will say, well, it's compulsory. We don't like anything where the government compels us to do anything. But the government, for better or for worse, is us. For better or for worse, we the people. It is our government. And so these tax debates, they sound kind of boring, kind of political. But these tax debates are the fundamental debates about who we are as people. What are our values? And again, I encourage you to go through the thought experiment if you're about this Haitian relief and recovery effort. People giving money. Conservatives, liberals, George W. Bush was, George W. Bush was appointed by President Obama. I was joking about it a couple days ago. Mr. Katrina, he was appointed by Obama, along with Bill Clinton, to help raise international funds for the relief efforts. Fine. I mean, it's ridiculous that George W. Bush is out there because he was one of the faces of Katrina. But fine, it's great. Everyone's raising money, and that's really good. It's really important. But then why, if that's okay, why are we so against, or why are so many of us so against slightly raising taxes on millionaires to pay to make sure 45,000 of our own countrymen don't die every year for lack of health insurance? Why would we be opposed to a tax, a small, tiny tax, to raise funds to help with the effort in Haiti? What is it about taxes that drives us so crazy? And I think it's the compulsory part, and I also think it's the me first part. And I said this yesterday, and I'm going to say it again. One of the stories on the wire today is how there's this deal over healthcare, over financing healthcare, this tax deal. Remember, the unions were upset that there was this quote unquote Cadillac tax proposed by the White House. And what ended up happening was, I said before, you heard some union leaders saying, this is not right, we shouldn't be taxing, don't tax union workers. And I agree with that. We should be taxing millionaires. That's the provision in the House bill. But the way the whole debate went was, make somebody else pay taxes. Don't make me pay taxes. And the deal that they cut, the deal that the unions cut, was you can keep the quote-unquote Cadillac tax essentially on non-union workers, just not on our members. Now, you know, union leaders, that's what they're defending their members' interests. That's what they're hired and paid to do, and I get that. And it's good that many union members are not going to have to pay this tax, because they shouldn't be having to pay this tax. But my point here is the debate is always about me. It's always about make somebody else pay. I don't want to contribute. How do I get out of having to contribute? And this is the battle, I think, over our values right now. And when we look at what's going on in Haiti and money going in for charity, and yet we have this virulent anti-tax movement here in this country at the same time, those are conflicting impulses. And I think it says a lot, a really depressing lot, about who we are as a people. And that's why these tax debates that are coming up, I think, are so important. And we will get into a discussion of them later on in the broadcast. It's 7:18 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota. Coming up next, we're going to get an update on the Biennial of America Denver celebration here. And then we'll take some of your calls, 303-713-7600, if you want to weigh in on what I've just said about taxes. What is it about taxes that drives us so crazy? Is the tax debate moving in the right direction? 303-713-7600. You can instant message us, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Traffic is getting busy for us, but we are accident-free around the metro. Forgive me for one second while I put my guest on hold here, Dave.
the fun of running a show and doing traffic at the same time. Stop and go, southbound I-25, up in Thornton and North Glen, 104th to 84th Avenue. Also busy on eastbound 270 this morning, 76th to Vasquez, and a slower stretch on the turnpike westbound side, Table Mesa to Baseline. Just cleared an accident on the ramp to 6th from southbound 225, so that's no longer a problem. You may see some more traffic around I-70 and the Mousetrap due to the National Western Stock Show. It's going on for the next couple weeks. Your forecast, sunny with a high around 50. Right now, 27 in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Obviously, the ethical issue is a major drive.
That's the actual voice of someone who reported software piracy. Why did you report software piracy?
Knowing what software takes in terms of development, teaching, programming myself, understanding the time involved in that, people are due what they charge for the software, and people should abide by that.
Report software piracy confidentially, and you may be eligible for rewards of up to $1 million. Visit www.nopiracy.com. Otherwise, call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. Also, you can use Bing or Google and simply input BS.
Turn right in 1/2 mile.
I'm not great with directions.
Turn right now.
But now my GPS gets me wherever I need to go. TurboTax lets me do my taxes the same way. It guides me step by step through my return, searching for every deduction I deserve and helping me arrive at my maximum refund, guaranteed. No wonder it's the most trusted tax software in America.
See for yourself at TurboTax.com. Choose easy. Money back guarantee details at TurboTax.com. Trusted brand claim based on survey July 2009.
It's time to buy that boat. Bring the family to the Denver Boat Show at the Colorado Convention Center this weekend. See hundreds of new boats and the latest in boating accessories. Don't miss the Tiki Party Friday and Saturday nights, sponsored by your neighborhood Toyota stores. Discount tickets available at DenverBoatShow.com. Life is better with a boat.
Three greatest myths that current success psychology has wrong. And make no mistake, believing in these myths is hurting you. Discover the latest in neurosciences. Not only learn what the top 10% of successful people know, act on it, and act now. Call me now, 303-904-0077, 303-904-0077, or sign up at my website, williamsumner.net. That's williamsumner.net.
Thank you for calling Rosetta Stone for your free language learning demo CD-ROM.
Yeah, what's the catch?
Excuse me?
Your ad says I can get a free demo of your language software, so what's the catch?
No catch. We're so sure Rosetta Stone is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language that we'll give you a free demo.
To get your free demo from Rosetta Stone, call now. 1-800-400-4943. 1-800-400-4943. 1-800-400-4943.
Entertain your whole family with 99 cent kids and family movie rentals from Blockbuster. For a limited time, choose from hundreds of kids and family titles, all for just 99 cents each. Stop by your neighborhood Blockbuster store today. At participating stores, excludes new releases, Blu-ray, and games.
Tom Hartman.
Coming up Friday on the Tom Hartman program, it's Brunch with Bernie. America's Senator, Senator Bernie Sanders, joins me with all the news from Washington. Plus, he'll take your calls and answer your questions. Plus, credit union or bank, what's the difference and why should you care? I'll speak with Mark Wolf of the Credit Union National Association. And it's Anything Goes Friday with the best of the rest of the news and your calls.
It's the Tom Hartman program, 1 to 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. What is it about taxes that drives us so crazy? Why, if President Obama came out tomorrow or today and said that he wanted us to chip in to pay a little bit of a tax to help with Haiti, why would so many of us go crazy? But so many of us are also donating, rightly so, I think, to relief organizations to help with the situation down in Haiti. What is it about taxes that drives us so crazy? 303-713-7600 is the number. 303-713-7600. We got a couple open lines. And before we get to them, I just want to bring in for a brief few minutes here Donna Good. She's the president of the Biennial of America's festival here in Denver. It's happening in July. And I just wanted to give people an update on what will be going on and where you can find out information about this big, big event. You can find the website, denverbiennial.org. All right, Donna, just tell us real quick what is the event all about? What's going to be happening? Why should people care?
Well, I think the big reason people should care, of course, is because this is going to be the largest celebration of the Americas in the United States in 2010. Actually, what the State Department tells us is they think it will be the largest international meeting of any kind in the United States in 2010. We'll be celebrating the cultural richness, the arts, and to some degree, the political innovation of over 35 countries that share this hemisphere with us.
And I assume, well, I should ask, how many people you think do you usually come to this kind of event? How long does it last? How can people get involved?
Well, this is actually the longest event of its kind. It's going to go from July 1st all the way to the 1st of August. It will have world leaders, past world leaders, a Nobel Peace Prize winner or two. We will have the best of the arts of the Americas, artists that people would never get a chance to see otherwise. We'll be doing events throughout Denver, events on Civic Center Park, events in the McNichols building, which sits right beside Civic Center Park. And people get involved, just as you told them, www.denverbiennial.org.
Again, it's denverbiennial.org, denverbiennial.org. And Donna, we'll have you back as the event gets closer. And we would love to have any of the people who are going to be coming to the event, some of the speakers on the show to discuss what's going on in the next couple of months. Really appreciate you taking the time this morning. Again, it's denverbiennial.org. It's the Biennial of America's event here in Denver in July. Donna, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
So again, I'll throw it out to the audience here. Why do taxes drive us so crazy? Are we now beholden to the me culture? And what is it in particular about taxes that drives us so crazy? We're having such a debate now in this country about taxes. President Obama comes out with the bank tax. The bankers go crazy. If President Obama came out tomorrow and said he wanted a small tax, a tiny tax to fund relief efforts in Haiti, you know people would go crazy. What is it about taxes that we go, that drives us so crazy? Amber in Denver. Amber, you're on AM 760.
Hi. It's purely the obligation that it has to be paid.
So it's the compulsory part. It's the compulsory part.
Absolutely. Plus, I just think, especially now, people have an issue with the fact that, you know, we're all struggling. You know, and not to, you know, claim that you know, we're in a much better situation than Haiti is, you know, but I still think it's that obligation and just the fact that literally we're tired of paying for everything.
Yeah, I know. And I think that, look, I think you've encapsulated it, but the issue is, I mean, I guess what I'm really asking is, why have we have cognitive dissonance between what our taxes fund and how we have to pay our taxes, right? It's like paying taxes is just a pain. It just, you know, I want to pay higher taxes in the sense that I want better services for my community, city, state, and country, right? But I don't enjoy paying taxes. It's not like I'm like, sweet, I have to pay taxes. This is all, you know, this is awesome, right? But part of the reason why I'm not like that is because so much of the debate over taxes doesn't stress what we're actually getting. So many of the things that we get are like invisible, right? Or not invisible, but we don't think about them. You're driving down the street, you know, this street was paid for by taxes, right? I mean, all the things that we take, you know, you call the police and they show up at your house, that's taxes, right? Mm-hmm. We don't think about that. The only things that we notice are the things that go wrong. Right? Like when you drive and you hit the pothole, or when you call up the police and they don't respond. So it's, I agree with you. It's the compulsory part. And I also agree with you that working people are paying too much of the share of taxes and the super rich aren't paying their fair share. But I still key in on this idea that anytime taxes comes up, everybody's like, how do I not have to pay? Let me find a way for me not to have to pay, as opposed to seeing it as something of a shared sacrifice. Now, again, you could argue that the sacrifice isn't being shared, right? It's not being shared equally. I just think our initial response is always, even mine, and I'm for, you know, as I said, I'm for raising, I think we need to pay a little bit more in taxes. Even my initial reaction is, I don't want to pay. I don't want to pay. And I just think that is a serious value question at the core of our country right now.
Absolutely. Well, you know, do me a favor and have a great morning.
Hey, you too. Thanks for calling. 729 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We'll go to one more call here. Let's go to Michelle in Aurora. Michelle, you're on AM 760.
Hey, David.
Hey there.
Happy Friday.
Hey, you too.
Now, I don't believe that's necessarily true because I've voted to raise taxes on things like for school kids, and I don't have any children because I do see that the education needs to be improved. But we need to know that the taxes are going towards that. We need to know that it's not going to go just towards the wealthy people like Bush did to us for 8 years. We need to know that the taxes are working as a whole to fix this country.
Yeah, Michelle, I'm really glad you bring that up because that is the big danger right now of these no-strings-attached bank bailouts and the corporate welfare that people see, right? The danger is that it will intensify the virulently anti-tax politics, right? The politics of saying, I don't want to pay taxes, and guess what? I really don't want to pay taxes because I don't want my tax money going to some banker who's paying himself $1 million a year or $10 million a year in Manhattan.
I mean, we might not get raises again for the second year. So what do you do when you want to help as much as you can? Like, I want to help the people in Haiti. I want to help, you know, school kids get an education. I want to make this country a little bit better so that our roads, when we drive, we don't have to hit the potholes and I don't have to get my tires fixed. But I'm not making what I used to make.
Right. I know. I know it. I know it. And I tell you something. I hear you. And I think, look, there's two pieces of taxes, right? There's are we willing to pay them? And then who has to pay them, right? And I agree that we need a discussion in this country about tax reform. That is the who pays the taxes, right? And then we also need a discussion about the value of taxes. And the problem is that when you start having the discussion about who pays, everybody runs away and says, I don't want to pay. Make somebody else pay. And I obviously agree that working people should be saying that in the sense that the banksters who are paying themselves these huge bonuses, they should be paying more. But I also think that if that's the only part of the debate, who is paying and not, hey, there is a value in paying taxes in general, if the only debate is who is paying, not why we pay, then we continue to burn into our psyche this idea that taxes are awful, as opposed to the idea that taxes are our way of contributing to the common good. Hey, Michelle, thanks for the call. And I just want to say one other thing. I want to reiterate this. That's what's so depressing about a lot of these bailouts. These bailouts say to everybody that when you pay your taxes, oftentimes they are given away to the wealthiest people in this country. And that just burns in that psychology that says all taxes are bad. It's a really, really vicious cycle. It's amazing. The conservatives have this argument. They can say taxes are bad, and here's a proof that taxes are bad, because whenever you get taxed, your money's given away to people, to the wealthy. It's a perfect conservative argument to continue arguing to cut and cut and cut all the way down to the bone. It's really, really depressing. And it's something that we have to fight. And I tell you something, in the Colorado legislature, after Governor Ritter's State of the State yesterday about the budget cuts and the fights over corporate tax loopholes, that fight is coming right here, and we will be covering it. 7:32 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. After the break, we're going to have a guest, Bob McChesney. His new book, The Death and Life of American Journalism and Why You Should Care, Denver and Colorado, is on the front lines with the struggle and then the collapse of the Rocky Mountain News. Why is it important to you? What can we do about it? Why is journalism important? Stick around after a traffic update with John Turk.
Dave, we do see a lot of traffic on 225 right now. Northbounders, Iliff up to Mississippi. The southbound trip heavy from Colfax to Alameda. Again, from about Parker Road down to the 25 merge. On 25, normal jams coming southbound. First in North Glenn and Thornton again after I-70. Once you get closer to downtown, if you're heading towards Boulder on the turnpike, small delays. Table Mesa to Baseline, no accidents there, just some heavy volumes. One surface street accident, Alameda and Clarkson. Forecast, mostly sunny, breezy, highs in the upper 40s. Right now, 27 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Remember your Western spirit? Find it at the National Western Stock Show now through the 24th. There's something for everyone. Buy your tickets today. NationalWestern.com, 1-888-551-5004, or at any King Supers. The National Western Stock Show. Don't miss it.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. Today we're talking to
Newlyweds.
Hi. My husband and I are combining our policies, and my mother-in-law says we can save with Progressive.
Well, with online, homeowners, and multi-car discounts, saving on car insurance is easy.
So you're saying she's right?
I'm saying get used to it.
Get great savings and more at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Discounts not available in all states. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where can you find the best Indian, Nepal, and Tibetan cuisine? The Yak and Yeti Restaurant and Brew Pub. Family-owned, the Yak and Yeti serves lunch from 11 to 3 and dinner from 5 to 9:30, 7 days a week. And they offer vegan and vegetarian menus. Visit one of their two great locations, in Arvada on Ralston Road in Old Wadsworth and 86th and Sheridan in Westminster. Mention this ad and get 10% off your bill. TheYakAndYeti.com.
This is Mario for the law firms of Mike Turner and Scott Henderson, proud supporters of AM 760. Turner and Henderson are personal injury trial lawyers who have supported Progressive Talk since the beginning. They've devoted their entire legal careers to handling personal injury claims. They represent real people, not big insurance companies or corporations, and they've been successful at all kinds of personal injury claims. Turner and Henderson. Call for free consultation at 303-300-1600.
A month free. Call 1-800-567-5594. 1-800-567-5594. That's 1-800-567-5594. 1-800-567-5594.
The following is a free offer from the Foundation for Healthier Living. Satisfaction is guaranteed.
The Foundation for Healthier Living is now giving away free two-week trials of a guaranteed weight loss program. If you are concerned about your weight and need to lose more than 20 pounds, you may call and request a free trial now. The toll-free number is 1-800-400-8432. Please note that this free trial is only available to men and women in this listening area. If you do not live in this area, you are not eligible for the free two-week trial. Again, this is a free weight loss trial from the Foundation for Healthier Living. Anyone who is concerned about their weight may call now for a free two-week trial of a guaranteed weight loss program. If you do not lose the weight, you never pay for the product. Call for your free trial now. 1-800-400-8432. That's 1-800-400-8432. 1-800-400-8432.
Need advice about simple home repairs? The Fix It Up with Steve and Matina show gives tips on money-saving home repair, buying, and selling a home, and provides a forum for homeowner questions. Tune in Saturday mornings at 10 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Entertain your whole family with 99-cent kids and family movie rentals from Blockbuster. For a limited time, choose from hundreds of kids and family titles, all for just 99 cents each. Stop by your neighborhood Blockbuster store today. At participating stores, excludes new releases, Blu-ray, and games.
Ah, the perfect Serta mattress. A little plush, a little firm, plenty of support in all the right places. It just makes you want to... Oh. No wonder Serta's called the makers of the world's best mattresses. And you'll always find the best Serta savings at Sam's Club and samsclub.com. With incredible members-only prices, like queens from just $298 and twins from just $99. Get the perfect deal on the perfect Serta mattress today at Sam's Club. Oh, and rest easy. Sam's Club. Savings made simple.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Stick around after the national news at 8. In studio, Mason Tvert of Colorado Safer, trying to get down to some of the details of what's going on in the legislature and in the city on medical marijuana. It's all over the Denver Post today. We'll also be talking Colorado politics, the state of play in a week that saw the governor, Governor Ritter, retire, John Hickenlooper potentially taking his spot at the top of the ticket, Mason Tvert, and we'll also talk about the potential for a ballot initiative to legalize fully marijuana. Mason is a serious Colorado politico, he's got his hands in everything, so it will be an interesting discussion. But now, joining us now is a very good friend of mine, an inspiration of mine, Bob McChesney. He's the author of the new book, The Death and Life of American Journalism, which he wrote with the nation's John Nichols. He is a professor at the University of Illinois. He hosts an NPR show in Illinois called Media Matters, and he's written or edited 16 books on the media. This one is just a fascinating read, Bob. You've really outdone yourself on this book. And let's talk about what the death of American journalism is all about before we get to the potential new life of American journalism. If you can sum up for us why you think American journalism is dead, tell us what the factors were in its demise.
Well, the facts are, David, and it's great to be on your show, by the way, the facts are we're losing journalists and newsrooms at a dramatic rate, and there's no evidence they're going to be coming back. The number of working journalists per 100,000 population is much lower today than it was 5 years ago. It's much lower today than it was 20 years ago. This has been a long-term process. And at current rates, we're going to have just a small fraction of the number of working journalists and newsrooms that we had even today, not to mention 5 or 10 years ago. And by any sort of accounting of democracy, if we don't have journalists covering government, covering state houses, doing investigative work, our system doesn't work. So it's a crisis of the highest magnitude in democratic theory by the Supreme Court, any way you slice it. Now, why we're in this predicament, why we're really in this dramatic crisis is a subject of debate. We address it in the book. You know, the conventional wisdom is that the Internet has blown up the business model for newspapers and for journalism in general, or that the Great Recession has sort of taken away advertising, and that had neither the Internet come along or the Great Recession taken place, everything would be just fine. We don't think that argument holds up at all. In fact, the real problem is the conflict between the pursuit of profit, the commercial values of owners of journalism, and the public services needed from journalism. In our research, it's pretty clear the problem goes back to the 70s or 80s when you saw these huge conglomerates begin to gut newsrooms. You saw young people begin to turn off to the news in a way they hadn't before then. And that what the Internet has done, the Great Recession has done, is simply put a stake in the knife and make these trends irreversible. And what I think the key people should take away is that the idea that journalism should be run by the market to maximize profits is a relatively recent idea, and it was only during the era in which advertising was willing to put up the lion's share of revenues to bankroll journalism that it really held any sway and it was justifiable. And that's only over the last 100 years. And that era is gone now. Advertising never was attached to journalism per se, and it's jumped ship. It's better ways to reach its viewers. And there just aren't the resources there in the market anymore to do journalism. If we want to get the resources, we're going to have to go elsewhere. In our view, looking at all the possible sources, the only one that works and the one that all other democratic nations use is to have enlightened public subsidies to spawn an independent competitive free press.
Okay, and that's a very controversial idea, and it shouldn't be so controversial. We're going to get into why it shouldn't be controversial. And again, on the line with us, Bob McChesney, the author of the new book, The Death and Life of American Journalism. He's written or edited 16 books on the media. He is a professor at the University of Illinois. And I just want to understand this before we get to the idea of what you call enlightened public subsidies. It seems to me that what you're saying in the reading of your book is that when, let's say, newspapers, as an example, began being owned by publicly traded corporations, big corporations, that those corporations are the ones that always want revenue growth, right? You always have to beat what you did last year. That's a good, you know, that's why you buy a stock, for instance. Are you saying, if I understand you right, are you saying that if newspapers hadn't moved to that model, if for instance, and I'm just using newspapers as an example, if they hadn't moved to that model and they had stayed, let's say, owned by private corporations, private companies, not publicly traded companies, mm-hmm. that private companies, for instance, if you're getting 8, 10, 12, 15% return every year, right, consistently, you're not really complaining. I mean, that's a great investment. If I put my money in a savings account and I get 15% in a year, which of course you don't, I'd be thrilled, right? So a private owner can feel successful at getting the returns that newspapers have been getting. But are you saying that the sort of Wall Streetization of a lot of our media is what has pushed the profit motive to the extreme?
I think that's right. I think that that's what's made it such a severe crisis so quickly. But I will say that in our book, when we go through the entire history of journalism going back to the founding of the Republic, I think there's always been a tension just between having even private owners that are family owners, especially in non-competitive monopolistic situations, because it gives inordinate power to private owners to use to push their immediate financial profit goals as well as their own personal political agendas. And it's been a key tension throughout the history of American journalism, but it gets greatly aggravated in the era of conglomerates.
Okay, okay, and I completely agree that you're right. When if it's, you know, the model of just having, you know, private titans own all of the news, that's not a solution. Now let's go to your what you're discussing about enlightened public subsidies. Now one of the most fascinating parts of your book is the history of this, not only all over the world, but even in our own country, that we saw a debate in Congress, potentially people were floating, well, maybe the government will subsidize newspapers before they give newspapers a bailout, before they go out of business. What's your opinion on that specific idea? And then give us some of the history about the kinds of as you call them, enlightened subsidies that you refer to as potentially a way out for journalism today.
Well, John and I are opposed to bailouts for newspapers. These companies that own these newspapers deserve what they're getting, and the sooner we get them out of the business of newspaper publishing and journalism, the better. The only sort of money we throw at the newspaper industry is convert failing corporate daily newspapers into some sort of independent low-profit or non-profit medium or something different than a current structure. So we're opposed to bailout. Let's make that clear. That's absurd. Now, the important point you make, though, David, and I think it's really crucial, is that most Americans think the First Amendment and the free press tradition in the United States is predicated on the simple idea that the government shouldn't censor the press and the government should leave independent press alone. And we couldn't agree more that that is a Central American tradition. But there's two parts to the American free press tradition. The other part's been forgotten. The other part that's every bit as important to Jefferson and Madison and Washington and Hamilton was that you actually had to have a free press that couldn't be censored. And that you couldn't, well, in their view, for the first 100 years of the nation's history, there was no sense that you just rely on capitalists trying to make money or business seeking profit to generate a viable free press. Founders put in place extraordinary subsidies, to create a free press in the United States in the first 75 or 100 years of the Republic's history. Massive postal subsidies. The post office was the distribution arm of the entire newspaper system. And the printing subsidies, where they overpaid printers dramatically for government printing jobs, specifically to subsidize the newspapers that those printers published. And, you know, I did the calculation with some economists and some historians who studied the post office and the government printing contracts. And by our calculations, if the United States subsidized journalism today, the U.S. federal government, to the same extent it did through much of the 19th century, the amount we would pay out of the federal budget today as a percentage of GDP, if you use it as a percentage of GDP, it would be roughly $30 billion.
How would that work? I mean, how would a subsidy work in a way that was kind of non-discriminatory, non-special interest, that everybody could access?
That's exactly the discussion we need to have. That's what we have to get to, that discussion. We're going to have public subsidies like the founders understood, like they understand in Europe and other democracies. The crucial thing, then, is to come up with great subsidies that don't let politicians censor or control the shape of the news, that are open to everyone. And we go through a variety of ideas in the back of in the fourth chapter of our book to try to get there. You know, the great thing about the postal subsidy, for example, was that it was content neutral. It didn't favor abolitionists over non-abolitionists. It didn't favor one party over the other. Everyone had the same right to the subsidy.
And we have that model in other parts of our economy. I mean, you've got a situation where anybody can file within, if they behave within certain laws, anybody can file to create a 501c3, which is effectively it's a nonprofit company. You don't have to pay tax. It's a tax subsidy situation. So we have those kinds of models in our country. Let me play devil's advocate for a second here. And again, online with us, Bob McChesney's the author of the new book, The Death and Life of American Journalism. And let me play devil's advocate. And what do you say to a conservative who would say, well, look, Bob, you know, we might have subsidized the Postal Service, but the government effectively subsidized the creation of the internet. And the internet is today's postal service, and the internet allows newspapers, allows anybody to transmit information now at a much, much cheaper and faster way and rate than they were ever able to do so, in part because the government helped subsidize and create what we now call the internet.
Well, I'd say, look, if it worked, if that actually produced the results, good thing. I'd say, fine, we're done. We can go on with our day. But it's not producing those results. The founders didn't say, hey, we're going to create this enormous subsidy for the post office, and if it doesn't work, well, that's just too bad. We won't have a democracy. We'll have a monarchy. They said, we're going to put this enormous subsidy because we need a free press, and if it doesn't work, we'll do something else. Well, we've done the internet thing, and it hasn't worked. The internet, we haven't seen the internet replace journalism at all. In fact, the evidence is now dramatically clear. The Pew just released a research study this week, which demonstrates, looking at Baltimore over the last 2 years, that, you know, the internet has almost produced no new journalism. All the original journalism in Baltimore in the last year is almost all that's come from Baltimore's newsroom. And the Baltimore Sun newsroom has been under such attack over the last 2 decades, it's producing 73% less stories than it did in 1991.
Yeah, it's really a problem. In Baltimore, obviously, the subject of the show, The Wire, David Simon, has been a big voice in this debate. Let's take a call, if we can, real quickly here. Bill in Longmont. Bill, you're on with Bob McChesney, the author of The Death and Life of American Journalism. Go ahead.
Bob, I've read portions of your book and really, really respected some of the things you had to say. I've been in journalism for more than 30 years, and one disturbing trend that I've seen, and I think old Fox and Newsmax and WorldNet Daily and a couple sites on the left and publications are examples of this. More and more news consumers seem not to want to just be informed and let the chips fall where they may. They want to be validated, and they only want to see news content that supports and validates their own points of view, and if they see anything that challenges it, they call it bias. What can journalists do to turn that around?
Well, that's the outgrowth of the crisis we're in, because what's happened is that as it's become more expensive to actually do journalism in the minds of commercial owners, they've dropped the actual gathering of news, hard news, doing investigative work, and dropped professional standards. And it's much more profitable, much less expensive to do what Fox and the other cable channels do as well. And this includes MSNBC, which is you don't really do any journalism. What you do is pontificate in stories. And since you aren't actually doing journalism, you've got to have some value added. And the value added you provide is your partisan viewpoint. And that's what attracts people, because they aren't going to actually get any news there that's any original news. And then it feeds on itself and builds a culture. And I agree completely. This is something we should be greatly concerned about. We need... You know, if we get to a point where we don't actually have journalism, it's not like we're going to have a vacuum where there won't be any information at all. What we're going to replace it with, and what we talk about in the book, is simply spin and public relations. And very sophisticated.
Propaganda. That's what will replace journalism. Propaganda.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Bob McChesney. David, in the book, I think one of the most important things we did is we did hard research on the number of PR officials relative to journalists over the last 40 years.
I saw that graph. It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. I mean, we're in a situation now where it used to be there were more journalists than PR officials 35 years ago. Today, it's like a 3-to-1 ratio. It's been growing exponentially as the number of journalists declines.
It's an incredible, incredible graph. The book, The Death and Life of American Journalism, the author, the co-author, really, Bob McChesney, co-authored it with the nation's John Nichols. Find the book at robertmcchesney.com. Bob, it's always great to talk to you. Keep up the fantastic work.
Thank you, David. Good luck with the show.
All right, man. Thanks. 752 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Let's get Captain Turk is... I know, but I messed up the clock. Turk's giving me the look that I screwed up the clock.
It's all good, dude. Let me get to traffic.
All right, let's get to
traffic. Stop and go, 104th to 84th Avenue on I-25. Also busy after I-70. Just a couple accidents to look out for. Alameda and Clarkson, northbound Quebec at I-70. Forecast, sunny and high of around 50. Right now, we're at 27 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Catch all the action in the first full field event of the PGA Tour season. Tune into Golf Channel as the best in the game compete at the Sony Open in Hawaii. Watch today live at 4:30 and 9 p.m. Mountain, only on Golf Channel.
The following is the voice of someone who reported software piracy to the Business Software Alliance. How was it working with the BSA?
Process was great, very simple. That's sort of the nice thing about it being confidential, too. You don't have to worry about people coming back and saying, hey, you reported us, what were you thinking, that type of thing.
Report software piracy confidentially, and you may be eligible for rewards of up to $1 million. Visit www.nopiracy.com. Otherwise, call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. Also, you can use Bing or Google and simply input BSA.
Comcast presents The On-Demand Couple. On June 26th, Shaquille O'Neal was traded alone in a new town. He turned to his friend Ben Stein. Luckily, Ben had the Comcast Triple Play with On Demand.
I start and stop hit TV shows and the latest movies whenever I want. This feels like home already.
You too can enjoy the Comcast Triple Play with On Demand. Now only $99 a month for 12 months. Call 1-800-COMCAST today and enjoy access to thousands of on-demand choices, including movies, TV series, and kids shows. And now you can even watch online, anywhere, anytime.
Shaq, you're blocking my movie.
Watch it on my laptop.
You can watch it on your laptop? Wait, that's my laptop.
Hurry and call 1-800-COMCAST today and get the Comcast Triple Play with On Demand for just $99 a month for 12 months. Or step up to our HD Triple Play and get up to $200 back.
Offer ends 3710, applies to starter XF Triple Play for new residential customers. After promo, regular rates apply. Equipment installation taxes and fees extra.
Attention business owners, don't rent electricity, own it. Learn now at Independent Power Systems Commercial Solar Event. The Coors Field Solar Experts will show you how your business can go solar with low upfront costs and how rebates and federal tax grants can yield a 5 to 7 year ROI. Boulder County business owners can take advantage of the Climate Smart Loan Program to go solar for zero down and one annual payment. Green your business with solar and never pay another electric bill. Learn how in Boulder, Tuesday, January 26th at the St. Julian Hotel and Tuesday, February 2nd at the Dairy Center for the Arts. Visit solarips.com/KKZN for details or call 303-443-0015. In the neighborhood, drop by our Boulder office January 21st at 7 p.m. for the Solar Community Night. Visit solarips.com/KKZN for details or call 303-443-0015. Call 303-443-0015 for details or visit solarips.com/KKZN.
Never a good time for your sewer line to plug up. Declare war on that blockage. Drain Solvers provides top quality drain cleaning and router services and will break through any blockage. Let Drain Solvers camera your sewer pipe for only $79. And clean your drain for $99. Mention this special when you call Drain Solvers, the trenchless pipe repair specialists. Drain Solvers does whatever it takes to solve your problem. Call 303-423-1000. That's 303-423-1000. Or drainsolvers.com. Access fees may apply.
That's what I'll tell them. Maybe put some slides together. Right, well, I probably should stop waffling along on the radio here. Put the old nose to the grindstone, eh?
For a fast, easy rate quote on homeowners or renters insurance, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
The Home Ownership Accelerator is the best home loan ever. A First Deed line of credit combined with a checking account. Now, normally checking accounts don't earn you any interest, but here you run all of your household money and expenses through this account, and when you have extra money in it, it automatically applies to your mortgage balance, and that drastically reduces the interest you pay. So, your principal is paid off faster without changing any spending habits. 866-259-8206. 866-259-8206.
Entertain your whole family with 99 Cent Kids and Family Movie Rentals from Blockbuster. For a limited time, choose from hundreds of kids and family titles, all for just 99 cents each. Stop by your neighborhood Blockbuster store today. At participating stores, excludes new releases, Blu-ray, and games.
7-7 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We just heard Bob McChesney make the case that we need to have some sort of enlightened public subsidy for journalism before we become a country awash in propaganda. Would you pay more in taxes for that? We were talking about taxes. David in Denver. David, you got about 30 seconds. Weigh in on taxes if you want.
Okay, weighing in on taxes. I think the progressives pretty much understand the connection between paying taxes and the services we get. Liberals know how to govern. We have not framed the debate correctly. We have allowed the conservatives to frame the debate all the way back to Nixon. And that has really damaged the whole system.
You're absolutely right, because the discussion of taxes is just a discussion of paying taxes. It's never a discussion of what we get back for our taxes. And when it is, it's only the things that go wrong with our tax money. And it shouldn't just be that way. All right, stick around. Mason Tvert, discussion about marijuana and other Colorado political issues soon.
Have you heard about geothermal, the renewable energy that works even when the sun doesn't shine and the wind doesn't blow? Not only is geothermal reliable, it can operate at 300 to 600% efficiency. Geothermal is the smartest and greenest way to heat and cool your home. That's why Major Geothermal and Can America Drilling teamed up to offer Denver the peace of mind that your geothermal project is done by some of the top professionals in the field. Climate Master Heat Pumps, one of the top heat pumps in the world, powers the geothermal system. Your geothermal project could also qualify for a 30% tax credit. The goal is to offer a personalized solution to your heating and air conditioning needs to help you maximize your efficiency and reduce your carbon footprint. Call Major Geothermal and Can America Drilling today. 303-424-1622. 303-424-1622. We're online at majorheating.com. Start living greener today.
Only learn what the top 10% of successful people know. Act on it and act now. Call me now, 303-904-0077, 303-904-0077, or sign up at my website, williamsumner.net. That's williamsumner.net.
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, and AM 760.net.
CBS News, I'm Dave Barrett. Along a road in Haiti, they're digging graves. The State Department now says six Americans are known dead from the quake, and for the living, food and drinkable water are harder and harder to find in Port-au-Prince.
They're angry because they're hungry. They're hungry. Right now, they don't know how to survive.
The Haiti Children's Project runs an orphanage 140 miles from Port-au-Prince. Founder Wade McGuinn says they're in a real bind.
People were receiving shipments on a weekly basis throughout the country of rice and beans and water. And so with no distribution available from Port-au-Prince right now, there are people starving.
We've been hearing about looting in Port-au-Prince. CBS's Kelly Cobiea has seen it.
In the city's commercial center, crowds are scavenging as much as they can carry from crumpled stores. They've seen no sign of help, so they're fending for themselves. Gangs with machetes rule the streets in this neighborhood.
After initially claiming that 15,000 tons of food were stolen from Port-au-Prince warehouses, United Nations officials now say they've recovered most of those food stocks. Four Americans have been pulled alive from the collapsed Hotel Montana. One of them was Dr. Sarla Chand.
We didn't think we were going to make it because people came on Tuesday and said we'll be right back, and nobody came back.
The Obama administration pushed for quake relief donations by texting the word Haiti. This morning, $8 million has been given so far, 10 bucks at a time. Jeffrey Skiles has plenty to be thankful for. A year ago today, he was in the right-hand seat of that U.S. Airways jet that glided safely to a stop in the Hudson River. City this morning, Skiles talked about the people affected by the earthquake.
In the spirit of those victims, I'm going to start off the donations with a $5,000 check for the American Red Cross and the victims of Haiti.
Captain Sully Sullenberger spoke at this morning's breakfast for first responders.
I feel like I've lived about 10 normal lifetimes in this last year.
House Leader Democrat Steny Hoyer says they are very close to reaching a final deal on the health care reform package. Could be one in a matter of days. The president wants to sign it before his State of the Union address. Mr. Obama pushed Democrats into the early hours this morning when visiting Capitol Hill. Correspondent Bob Fuss.
The effort to merge the House and Senate health reform bills is moving very quickly, not in small part because the talks have been at the White House, with President Obama directly involved in trying to get this done. One key issue separating the House and Senate is settled. A Senate plan to tax so-called Cadillac health plans was modified to satisfy union leaders who feared it could hurt workers whose employers provide generous benefits.
Tiger Woods is still laying low, but the world's top tennis star, Roger Federer, has talked with Woods on the phone and says it might not be that long before Tiger Woods returns to the pro golf tour. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 75 points. This is CBS News.
Right now at the Home Depot, take 10% off appliances of $398 or more. Plus, get instant savings every day with free delivery and haul away, which combined can save you up to an additional $79. No rebates, no hassles. Brands like GE, Maytag, and LG are more affordable than ever thanks to 10% off appliances and free delivery. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through January 20th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Nowadays, when I talk with folks, they know GEICO could save them hundreds on their car insurance. But what they want to know is how GEICO does it. Well, I say, under great discounts like good driver discounts, multi-car discounts. And they say, there's no secret formula. And I say, nah, it's just what we do. And then sometimes they say, maybe it's all getting capable. Well, I wouldn't know what to say about that.
For a free visit, GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. The Jefferson County School Board decided not to close some popular schools after hearing from students and parents last night.
We love how we have friends in our neighborhood that also go to our school.
Seems to me it's mostly Title I schools, lower income.
The board decided to close Russell Elementary, but will keep open two middle schools and one other elementary school that were slated to close. The board still needs to cut $40 million from the budget. Transportation Secretary Ray will be in Colorado today to meet with business and political leaders about jobs. The Hood will appear at a forum on economic development in rural areas, expanding clean energy, helping small businesses. Hope you weren't planning on getting a driver's license today. It's another furlough day for thousands of state government employees. The unpaid day off affects about 15,000 state workers. It's one of eight furlough days Governor Ritter ordered this fiscal year to help save money. State parks and the unemployment offices are still open. In sports, no Abs or Nuggets last night or tonight. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
It's where the slowest stretch of this morning's commute exists as you're coming out of Thornton and Northland on the approach to 104th, taking you towards 84th. Eastbound 270 loading up 76 towards Vasquez. We've got a three-car accident. This is westbound 36 near McCaslin. You're slowing a start all the way back towards Sheridan. Sounds like it's off on the shoulder, but catching some looks. We've got a surface street wreck that occurred. Alameda and Clarkson, as well as northbound Quebec at I-70. Quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be a sunny day with very warm temperatures, high in the low 50s. Currently, it's 25 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Pearl Vision, where they do things differently to make your eye care experience a whole lot better. Like being upfront about costs so there's no surprises at the register. And taking time to help you understand your insurance coverage. Visit PearlVision.com to learn more. Pearl Vision, clearly different.
The one thing I love about your show is you never throw me a softball.
David Sirota.
Always, you're going to give me a hard question no matter what.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
806 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Who are your schmucks of the week? Instant messages, am760.net. Go over to the David Sirota page. You can send us an instant message there for schmuck of the week. Mine is Pat Robertson for his comments about Haiti, saying that somehow the Haitian people brought the tragedy on themselves somehow by allegedly making a deal with the devil 200 years ago. I mean, Pat Robertson, you are really a schmuck. You are just really, you got real problems to try to. I mean, I read a column a couple hours ago when I was working out early this morning about a guy. Pat Robertson never misses a chance to blame victims for anything that happens to them. And so Pat Robertson's my schmuck of the week. Who are your schmucks of the week? 303-713-7600. We started out this morning talking about taxes, and we are going to shift a little bit, although it's not as far away from taxes as you think, to a discussion about the general state of play here in Colorado, also the state of play on the issue of marijuana as well, with friend of the show in studio for the first time, Colorado Safer's Mason Tavert. You can find his website at saferchoice.org. Thanks for coming into the studio this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you in studio. So let's start out with a discussion before we get to the issue, the specific issue that you work on right now, marijuana policy. The state of play in Colorado, it was a big week. Governor Ritter retiring. John Hickenlooper apparently seems to be going to be the top of the ticket, although I don't think all the wrangling is done yet. I guess I'll ask you that as a first question. Do you think all the wrangling is done? I mean, you've worked in Colorado politics for years now. Is this over? Is this it? Is this a coronation? John Hickenlooper's the Democratic nominee?
Well, I think it's the beginning of that. I think we're headed in that direction. I certainly think that we haven't heard the last of Andrew Romanoff. There's certainly still discussion of him possibly dropping out of the Senate race to join that mayoral race, or excuse me, the gubernatorial race. But at this point, he is certainly the lead dog in the fight, and I think it's going to be very difficult for someone to challenge him on that.
Is in your mind, and your politics are, I don't know if you'd call, I mean, would you call yourself?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, but your issue that you deal with marijuana sort of transcends. I mean, we get conservatives all the time calling up who are saying, you know, I'm for changing our drug laws. So you're dealing with a lot of different constituencies.
Yeah, this is something that comes up with we come up with the definition of progressive, and you know, I certainly think this is an issue where we can see a whole lot of progress. So I don't really see it as a liberal or conservative issue, and I don't consider progressive for myself as a synonym for liberal. I just see it as a matter of looking at issues and wanting to.
Don't be evasive, because I'm trying to nail you down. Rob Corey, right? Rob Corey is the lawyer for some of the marijuana dispensaries, and I actually don't know if his other politics are like his wife's, Jessica Corey, who's been also a conservative kind of libertarian voice for drug policy reform. But in the circles you run in, your own personal politics, you would say you lean left.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I do.
The question then is, from your perspective, not just on the marijuana issue, and we'll get into it, is it a good thing that John Hickenlooper is the coronee, if that's even a word, the guy who's going to be coronated?
I think that remains to be seen at this. You know, Hickenlooper's a guy who's never held a partisan office. Obviously, being mayor, that's a nonpartisan office. You know, I do personally think that I'm fortunate to have my issue, marijuana policy, as a somewhat of a litmus test. You know, I would not base my vote entirely on whether someone is in support of changing marijuana laws, but my feeling is that if they don't think we should change them, then they're too ignorant and not willing to follow scientific evidence and should not be elected. And if they do agree with the evidence but are just too cowardly to speak out what their true opinion is, then again, I don't think that they're qualified. So when it comes to someone like Hickenlooper, I think that he needs to come forward with a position on this, because it's going to become a big issue. Criminal justice reform in the state, prison reform, these are big issues that we're going to be tackling this year, and we need to know where he's going to stand on those.
And Governor Ritter, in his State of the State yesterday, was actually talking about how prison reform, criminal justice reform, is such a bigger and bigger part of the state budget. So this is a huge issue. So then tell us, what do we know of John Hickenlooper, his record on the issues of drug policy reform that you have worked at the municipal level? I guess I'll put it this way. As a mayor, what could he have done? What has he done? And what does that say about what he might do as governor?
Well, the voters in the city of Denver have been very clear that they don't think adults should be cited or prosecuted for possession of marijuana. They've voted on that 3 times now, and they've made it exceptionally, abundantly clear. And so far, Mayor Hickenlooper has resorted to simply falling back on state law and saying, well, our city is not allowed to do this, when in fact there's a great deal of evidence that our city is perfectly able to end these arrests and citations and so on. So we have to ask ourselves, why hasn't the mayor taken an active role in getting to the bottom of this? Why hasn't he directed police to follow voters' will and so on? And why isn't he talking about it? But, you know, there's questions revolve around, is he beholden to law enforcement interests, which I can't fathom that he is as beholden to law enforcement as someone like Bill Ritter, a former prosecutor, but he certainly seems to be taking his cues on issues like drug policy or marijuana policy from law enforcement. And personally, I think he needs to start taking those cues from people in the health field and in the research field, because law enforcement officials should not be creating laws regarding drugs, which is you know, a great health issue facing our state. And he certainly seems to have an interest in reducing the homeless population and dealing with that. And I think that one of the keys to addressing the homelessness problem is dealing with mental health issues, which in many cases stem from substance abuse problems. And if we do want a comprehensive approach to dealing with homelessness, which has been a big priority of his, I think we need to examine what is contributing to that. And in many ways, it's substance abuse, a lack of treatment, and the use of the criminal justice system to deal with it.
Governor Ritter yesterday in his State of the State, and I don't have the direct quote in front of me, but he the way he addressed marijuana as a whole, I don't have the exact phrasing, but he said the way he talked about marijuana dispensaries, he framed it as kind of like a problem that needs to be dealt with, right? Like that the dispensaries are a problem that we need to get under control. Why do you think that was his take? Is that going to be, would that be a Governor Hickenlooper's take, that marijuana, if it is anything, it is simply a political nuisance and something that needs to be controlled rather than something that needs to be built into an industry in the state?
I will also say I did not see the specific words that he spoke about it, but, you know, ultimately, I think that it is an industry. It's a growing industry, and it is, you know, like any industry, we'll see certain problems. I mean, have there been robberies of a couple dispensaries? Of course there have. There are more and more dispensaries, hundreds of dispensaries around the state. Some might be robbed, just like some liquor stores might be robbed or any other business might be robbed. And we need to address that by protecting these businesses like we would any other. But in and of themselves, the notion that we have a business that is providing safe access to medical marijuana to qualified patients in accordance with our state laws and our state constitution, it's not a problem. I mean, we're talking about a substance, you know, as I've been saying for years here, that's far safer than alcohol. There's no reason why we should be freaking out, as many elected officials are. And, you know, I didn't see all of the governor's remarks, but I'm curious.
Here, and I'll read it for you just so you can hear. I just found it here. He says, another place we need to find balance is medical marijuana. We need to uphold the will of the voters while reining in abuses and bringing common sense to the chaos that now exists. Okay.
I agree. Then,
but here's what got me. Together we can achieve bipartisan solutions that clarify the doctor-patient relationship, fine, and address the proliferation of dispensaries. Right, and he says, I urge the General Assembly to act quickly in this area. Address the proliferation of dispensaries. It's kind of like if you took the word dispensary and you made it like said some sort of disease, you know, like we need to address the proliferation of influenza.
Yeah.
Right. It's like it seems that the Colorado political establishment really looks at this issue as like a problem that needs to be dealt with like you deal with a problem, not like you deal with a potential opportunity.
Yeah, and a couple words strike me as odd. You know, certainly the statement of proliferation that you just mentioned. I mean, you know, in other words, what would people think if he said we need to address the proliferation of a new industry that's bringing jobs and tax revenue
right,
and
right.
savings to our state? That certainly doesn't make sense. And then the term chaos, which he also seemed to use, and you know, I still haven't seen evidence of chaos. If, you know, basically they're considering proliferation of this industry chaos in and of itself without any evidence of it being problematic.
You know, that's a really interesting way you put it, that you wouldn't say, let's say, here's a great example. John Hickenlooper was a bar owner, right?
Mm-hmm.
You would never hear a politician, well, maybe you would, I don't know, 50 years during Prohibition, but you would never hear a governor, John Hickenlooper, and in fairness, this was Governor Ritter, but you'd never hear a governor say, we have to address the chaos from more and more bars and restaurants moving into Larimer Square.
When
and,
we actually do need to address the chaos associated with that, because there is actual chaos that is, you know, grounded in evidence. I mean, the amount of violence that's occurring downtown at 2 a.m., which has been a problem, is associated with alcohol use. And, you know, as I've said...
But you'd never hear that. You'd never hear Governor Ritter say, we need to address the chaos that now exists with bars moving into Larimer Square and the proliferation of bars. You would not hear that.
Absolutely. And another thing, like I said, I didn't quite hear all of the governor's remarks. I don't know if he addressed the problem in this state with prescription drugs, which is an issue obviously on par with medical marijuana when it comes to problems associated with a medication and abuses of a medical system like that. But Colorado is now one of a handful of states in this country where prescription drug abuse is the number one cause of unintentional death, above traffic accidents. And in other words, why are we not hearing about the chaos associated with prescription drugs when it is the number one cause of death in this state? I mean, that's insane.
That's an unbelievable stat.
And then you could even take it further and say, well, in many cases, people are using marijuana to avoid using many of these dangerous narcotic drugs like painkillers and so on. So what is the problem with people using marijuana instead of these potentially?
Well, and that's the rhetoric you always hear, right? I mean, that is the rhetoric you always hear around this from politicians, that, and even from State Senator Chris Romer, who's sort of now caught in the middle of this, and we had him go back and forth with Brian Vicente first, and then Romer sort of lashed out at Rob Corey, and we had Rob Corey come on the show and talk about this, that it's the real problem is not, you know, they're trying to separate out cancer patients from people who want to use it as an alternative for lesser diseases or lesser problems, and that people who are using it for lesser problems, or God forbid, recreation, you know, those people are the real problem. And you see the political class trying to separate this out. Again, in studio with us is Mason Tvert of Colorado Safer. You can find his website, Safer Choice. After the break, we're going to discuss the broader state of Colorado politics. Where is Colorado right now? We see the Senate race in Massachusetts. The Republicans look like they may be able to pull off a huge upset in Massachusetts. Is this a kind of pre-earthquake to a 2010 earthquake across the country, a Republican earthquake, and maybe here in Colorado? Who is your schmuck of the week? Also, 303-713-7600. We'll take your calls. We're going to open this up to your calls. You can ask me or Mason any question you want about any issue. We talked about taxes to start. Now we're talking about marijuana policy. We'll talk about the state of play in Colorado politics. It's open Friday. Give us your schmuck of the week, 303-713-7600. We got a couple open lines.
Can I vote, Dave?
Go ahead. We want Turk's schmuck of the week.
How about Scott Ritter?
Scott Ritter.
Yeah.
Not Bill Ritter.
Scott Ritter, former UN weapons inspector.
That's right. The story off the wire, and I don't have it pulled up right now, but Scott Ritter.
Something to do with a 15-year-old girl on the internet.
And you know, innocent. Seriously. Innocent until proven guilty, but he apparently has been charged pursuing an underage teenager online and exposing himself on a web camera to the supposed teenager. Of course, it wasn't a teenager. It was actually, a federal agent. So Scott Ritter, who by the way, was right in all of his criticism of the Iraq War.
I know, and he wrote some great books. It's just like, now what's he going to be remembered for, though?
Everything he did
is going to be totally squashed now because of this.
Doesn't it kill you when it's like somebody is saying the right thing and then does something sort of extracurricular, if you will? It's like Elliot Spitzer. Elliot Spitzer's been on the show. He's like saying exactly the right thing about Wall Street.
But man,
and like,
come on, dude.
We have so few of you saying the right thing. So we got one vote for Scott Ritter for Schmuck of the Week. We'll get Mason Tvert's Schmuck of the Week. Mine is Pat Robertson. Who are yours? 303-713-7600. Let's get a traffic update with Captain Turk.
Well, we did have an earlier crash on the westbound side of the turnpike right around McCaslin. Looks like they've cleaned that up. Looks like they've cleaned that up, and things are out of the way there. Little jams there. Table Mesa Drive down to Baseline Road. Trip on I-70 kind of filled up in the narrows there from the westbound side. 225 to Brighton Boulevard. Eastbounders, Harlan to 25. Maybe some increased traffic due to the Western Stock Show going on at the National Western Complex. One other crash, northbound Quebec at I-70. Forecast, mostly sunny and breezy, highs in the upper 40s. Right now, 29 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Today, it's time to buy that boat. Bring the family to the Denver Boat Show at the Colorado Convention Center this weekend. See hundreds of new boats and the latest in boating accessories. Don't miss the Tiki Party Friday and Saturday nights, sponsored by your neighborhood Toyota stores. Discount tickets available at DenverBoatShow.com. Life is better with a boat.
Used to think big box stores meant savings. Then I found Buy and Build. Oh my goodness, there's no comparison. Better quality, better selection, lower prices by a mile. That's what you'll get at Buy and Build, a no-frills warehouse stacked to the rafters with screaming deals. Truckloads of cabinets, granite, toilets, vessel sinks, hardwood flooring and tile. I urge you to shop prices. Buy and Build can't lose. 4800 Washington Street, 303-295-6022 or buyandbuild.net.
Where can you find the best Indian, Nepal, and Tibetan cuisine? The Yak and Yeti Restaurant and Brew Pub. Family-owned, the Yak and Yeti serves lunch from 11 to 3 and dinner from 5 to 9:30, 7 days a week. And they offer vegan and vegetarian menus. Visit one of their two great locations, in Arvada on Ralston Road in Old Wadsworth and 86th and Sheridan in Westminster. Mention this ad and get 10% off your bill. TheYakandYeti.com. Never a good time for your sewer line to plug up. Declare war on that blockage. Drain Solvers provides top quality drain cleaning and router services and will break through any blockage. Let Drain Solvers camera your sewer pipe for only $79 and clean your drain for $99. Mention this special when you call. Drain Solvers, the trenchless pipe repair specialists. Drain Solvers does whatever it takes to solve your plumbing problem. Call 303-423-1000. That's 303-423-1000. Or drainsolvers.com. Access fees may apply.
Raptors are now attacking Glenn Beck. Do you know that? Because Glenn Beck, he has mocked them as being crazies. Word to the birthers. When you're too crazy for Glenn Beck, it's a good time to take a look at yourself.
Randy Rhodes, weeknights at 7.
Look in the mirror. And if Joan Rivers is staring back at you, you're a Glenn Beck viewer.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
A24 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm ramrodding bread down my throat. That's how I eat breakfast in between breaks. It's really pleasant. in studio with us, Mason Tvert of Colorado Safer. We're taking your nominations for Schmuck of the Week. Let's get Mason, your Schmuck of the Week.
Well, you mentioned Pat Robertson. I would have to say that my Schmuck of the Week is anyone who still listens to Pat Robertson. I mean, the guy is still on TV. He does still have followers. There are still advertisers for his programs, and those people are not getting the Schmuck
great.
Of the Week.
That's great. Pat Robertson's audience as Schmuck of the Week. Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. And actually, you know who else? The Schmuckette, if you will, who was sitting. Did you see the clip? The clip of when Pat Robertson said that that Haitians brought this on themselves, but this supposed pact with the devil. There was a woman, a younger woman, sitting next to him, and she sort of just nodded her head in agreement. It's like, wow, how can you sit there? I mean, I guess if you're being paid by Pat Robertson, you're not going to, you know, you don't bite the hand that feeds you, no matter how much of a schmuck he may be. Let's go to the phones and get a couple of nominations for Schmuck of the Week. Andy in Denver. Andy, you're on AM 760.
Hey, David. Hey, Mason. How's
it
going?
Good.
You know, I want to say my Schmuck of the Week and kind of roll into a question for Mason. And my Schmuck of the Week is going to be the Denver Post. I've really noticed that, and especially last night, it kind of brought it to a boiling point. They'd have a bunch of anti-marijuana, almost propaganda articles out there with little or no basis in fact, mostly all hearsay. The first one being about drug cartels flying medical marijuana, which is ridiculous. Second one was about the marijuana shooting last week at the dispensary, which seemed just like a propaganda article to say, hey, marijuana's, you know, filled with dangerous people. And then last night, that Representative Macy claiming that his wife got death threats, where the only source from the article was from his wife. Didn't seem to be any police, you know, backup on that or anything.
Right, he's claiming he got a death threat from his effort to regulate medical marijuana. The pro marijuana communities apparently issued a death threat to him. But you're right, it was not a well sourced allegation. That's for sure.
it was his assumption that it was a dispensary person, just his assumption, yet that was the title of the article. And I guess, Mason, how do you deal with the media seemingly? I mean, I've always thought the Denver Post was a pretty, you know, liberal paper for Colorado. But, I mean, every time I read the article on there, it seems to be some horribly written article that is written by someone who actually maybe has no knowledge of the marijuana industry or how marijuana is, you know, grown or you know, the whole system itself. So,
well, let's step back here. The question is, do you think the Denver Post is, in its news coverage and its editorial coverage, and maybe you can separate them out, is it ideologically biased against the marijuana issue in your mind? And if it is, how do you deal with it?
Well, I think that you do have to separate the news from the editorial. I've certainly met with the editorial folks at the Denver Post, and in their editorials, they've been very clear about their support for marijuana policy reform. They've even said that this, you know, the best reform right now would be to make marijuana legal and regulate it for all adults as opposed to medical marijuana. So I certainly respect their straightforward answer on that one. When it comes to the news coverage, I'm looking at the article right now, and you mentioned the headline of today's article about Representative Massey. It's Pot Bill Receives Threats. And I would be curious if this Republican representative is comfortable with now being known solely as Pot Bill sponsor as opposed to sponsor of any other legislation. And that's the type of stuff where I think the Denver Post might be using the marijuana issue as a means of generating attention. It's a little sensationalistic. There's really no need for it to be referred to as Pot Bill sponsor. And this goes back to the tune you were having earlier in your program with the gentleman who has written the book regarding the current state of the media, which is, you know, this is a big issue, right? Button issue. Quite frankly, I don't know why medical marijuana dispensaries are such an issue, but they are. And as a result, not just the Denver Post, whether it's Westword, other newspapers around the state, they're all using marijuana as a way of catching people's attention because it does catch people's attention, and it's interesting and it's different. So I think we're going to continue to see this type of stuff, but hopefully they'll, you know, dig a little deeper into these types of things before using it in such a way.
Well, No, it's interesting that we've got a Schmuck of the Week nomination for the Denver Post. My column this week, my newspaper column coming out in the Denver Post, which I'll be frank with you, I was a little nervous about writing. I don't, you know, it's not a comfortable situation to bite the hand that feeds you, and I wouldn't say the Denver Post feeds me, but they run my column every week, and I wrote a column about how the news in general tends to redefine the terms of the political debate. The column's out in the Fort Collins, Colorado today, and I basically say that, you know, I cite the Orwellian George Orwell's newspeak, the famous "War is peace, freedom is slavery, and ignorance is strength," right? And I say that, you know, we are living in times where oftentimes the media tells us the right is the center is the left, and the left is the fringe, right? And I cite in this piece two pieces, one from the Boston Globe that says that Bernie Sanders, the senator from Vermont, the headline in there was "Sanders, a growing force on the far, far left," the far, far left. Now, what's amazing about this is that the subhead is, as their proof that he's far, far left, Vermont senator is gathering clout as he takes on the Fed's Ben Bernanke. Now, Ben Bernanke in polls is despised by not just the far, far left. Like, the majority of the country despises this guy. He's got Republican opposition in the Senate. And it's the same thing in the Denver Post. I wrote about the Denver Post's editorial about John Hickenlooper, basically endorsing John Hickenlooper and saying, John Hickenlooper's great and all this stuff. And then they said Ed Perlmutter is unacceptably farther to the left than Colorado's electorate. Right now, Ed Perlmutter represents a swing district. He's a moderate. I would never call that guy.
He's a moderate.
He's like a super middle of the road moderate guy. Right. And it's the idea that Hickenlooper on economic issues, I think a lot of people believe that he is conservative. He's a restaurant owner. He's a business owner. And he said to the Denver Post in his interview with them, why would you run? He said there should be a lot more people in government who come out of the business community. That is a conservative economic argument. But the Post, and I was nervous about writing this because it's going to run in the Post. And I called up the editor and I said, you know, Dan, I just want you to know I'm going to write this and I'm just going to be respectful. And he was very respectful. He said, look, you have a right to disagree. But It seems to me that on all of these issues, the media tends to skew the debate rightward. When you look at the Colorado media, you've been with all sorts of Colorado media. What other issues other than marijuana do you think this comes out on? I mean, is it labor? Or maybe you think I have the perception wrong.
I think it's far broader than any issue. I think, and this again goes back to your previous conversation with the other guest, I don't think that folks in journalism, if they're going to be considered journalism, and the Denver Post certainly should be considered journalism, should be using any value-based terms, whether it's right, whether it's left, conservative, liberal. Those are terms that are defined by the reader or the viewer, what have you. And for them to use those terms, they are the ones, you know, pushing their values on the audience. So, you know, along the lines of that, I often have issues when the newspaper or any, you know, media outlet uses the term controversial. For example, they...
Right, who is it controversial
they
to?
Frequently, yeah, they, you know, with regards to, for example, marijuana in Denver, they would say, oh, a controversial proposal. Well, 57%, at this point now, 67% of Denver voters think marijuana should be legal and regulated. And
right, the controversy
is
over.
Controversy is if you're against this, that's controversial. This law enforcement bill in the state legislature to ban marijuana dispensaries when they have 67% support statewide, that is controversial.
And by the way, it's the same thing with the public option, right? In the healthcare. The public option is controversial. Every single poll shows that at a national level, as a national issue, 60-70% of the public supports it. Who's controversial? The people who are against it.
Yeah, and it's this desire to have both sides. I mean, I frequently see this where they'll ask me to come in and play one side, and then they'll say, well, we have to have the other side. But if the other side is absolutely ridiculous or not basing their position in any sort of evidence, there's no need to include that. That's you know, it's like Pat Robertson's opinion. That is not the other side. That is absolute.
That is
malarkey.
Totally,
it's
beyond the fringe. Again, in studio with us, Mason Tvert of Colorado Safer. Find his website, saferchoice.org. We're talking about the state of Colorado politics, marijuana politics, and in specific. But it's an open forum. Give us a call. Nominate your schmuck of the week, Barry in Arvada. Barry, you're on AM 760.
Yeah. Good morning, David.
Morning.
Nominee for petty schmuck of the week.
Okay.
The Republican who pre-filed a bill that would forbid CDOT from posting a sign that says this road repair is financed with stimulus money.
So, is that right? A Republican sponsored a bill with that?
Absolutely.
Yep. Who's that, Ballmer?
I'm not sure.
That is, you're right. That is so petty. And so that is really. I mean, I wish I could say I was surprised, but it's unfortunately I am not surprised. And they keep saying, the Republicans keep saying that the Democrats are trying to use the stimulus and use all the new construction as a political ad. And it's like, you know, look, it's not like the Republicans didn't do that also. And you know, I mean, but I think it, look, Barry, I think it says something about the state of the Colorado Republican Party as I think demoralized or on the ropes as the Democratic Party is in this state, I think the Republican Party has just as big problems. Mason, do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. When it comes to an issue like that, I mean, you know, we're seeing our government becoming this political system when it's not supposed to be. I mean, a sign that says this is a stimulus-related project, even though the stimulus might have been approved by a majority of Democrats, the second it becomes approved, it's no longer a Democratic. It's the nation's stimulus. It's the government stimulus.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're against what our representative government approves, you're anti-government and you're anti-American.
Barry, let me ask you this question. I wonder if you think that the reason the Republicans are against this goes back to our discussion of taxes, or whether it's partisan in the sense of this.
Well,
are they afraid? Do they not want the public to know what good the public's tax dollars are doing? Because if they oppose what good our tax dollars are doing, we might support higher or more taxes or more spending? Or is it that they don't want it to be known as a kind of Democratic initiative?
Well, I think that the Republican Party is kind of like a sailboat in a heavy wind. It's tacking this way and that. Another example. Why is it the same Republicans who say you cannot touch a period, a comma, or a clause in Tabor are wanting to read the bejesus out of the medical marijuana? Both of them are expressions of the people's will.
That's a great point, Mason.
And moreover, we see the same conservative folks who are saying, keep the government away from my health care and my health decisions getting in the middle of this. I mean, you know, I continue to hear from elected officials and law enforcement officials saying, oh, my gosh, you know, this is out of control. How can all these people be receiving medical marijuana recommendations when they're, you know, just for something that they consider to be chronic pain? And who, you know, why are they diagnosing people with chronic pain? That should be left to a physician. Physicians are diagnosing these people, and they are now using a medication they have a right to use. And, you know, I cannot figure out why folks like, for example, John Southers, who I'm sure
Colorado's Attorney General,
who I'm sure thinks health care should not be interfered with by government, is out there in the forefront trying to get in between doctors and health care providers and medication providers on something that he knows very little, if anything, about.
Well, and I'm glad that the conversation has moved into this direction, because after the break, what we're going to do is I'm going to play folks a clip from one of the most conservative Republican members of Congress, a guy named John Shadegg from Arizona, about health care. Barry made the point that the Republicans are twisting in the wind. They're going this way and that. You're not going to believe what this conservative Republican said yesterday. I simultaneously cheered and then threw up in my mouth when I heard him say it.
Fortunately, he's retiring.
Fortunately, he is retiring, which maybe this is why he's saying it. But it's an incredible statement. So stick around. We'll play it after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Traffic is pretty busy around there. We're starting to clean up this Friday morning's commute. Normal jams on southbound I-25 coming in from Thornton and Northland, 104th down to 84th, also heavy from I-70 past Spear. Northbounders hitting the brakes there around Washington Street. Going to break loose after 6th Avenue. Also heavy southbound 225 Park Road to 25. Good news is the Cherry Creek Dam Road is now reopened. They thought it was going to take till January 17th, but they did finish a couple days earlier. We are accident-free around the metro at this point. Your forecast, sunny with a high around 50. Tomorrow, sunny with highs in the mid to upper 50s. And on Sunday, more sun and a high of 52. Currently 30 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Catch all the action in the first full field event of the PGA Tour season. Tune into Golf Channel as the best in the game compete at the Sony Open in Hawaii. Watch today live at 4:30 and 9 p.m. Mountain, only on Golf Channel.
Right now at the Home Depot, take 10% off appliances of $398 or more. Plus, get instant savings every day with free delivery and haul away, which combined can save you up to an additional $79. No rebates, no hassles. Brands like GE, Maytag, and LG are more affordable than ever thanks to 10% off appliances and free delivery. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through January 20th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Attention business owners, don't rent electricity, own it. Learn now at Independent Power Systems Commercial Solar Event. The Coors Field Solar Experts will show you how your business can go solar with low upfront costs and how rebates and federal tax grants can yield a 5 to 7 year ROI. Boulder County business owners can take advantage of the Climate Smart Loan Program to go solar for zero down and one annual payment. Green your business with solar and never pay another electric bill. Learn how in Boulder, Tuesday, January 26th at the St. Julian Hotel and Tuesday, February 2nd at the Dairy Center for the Arts. Visit solarips.com/KKZN for details or call 303-443-0015. In the neighborhood, drop by our Boulder office January 21st at 7 p.m. for the Solar Community Night. Visit solarips.com/KKZN for details or call 303-443-0015. Call 303-443-0015 for details or visit solarips.com/KKZN.
Time to buy that boat. Bring the family to the Denver Boat Show at the Colorado Convention Center this weekend. See hundreds of new boats and the latest in boating accessories. Don't miss the Tiki Party Friday and Saturday nights, sponsored by your neighborhood Toyota stores. Discount tickets available at DenverBoatShow.com. Life is better with a boat.
Comcast presents The On-Demand Couple. On June 26th, Shaquille O'Neal was traded alone in a new town. He turned to his friend Ben Stein. Luckily, Ben had the Comcast triple play with On-Demand.
I start and stop hit TV shows and the latest movies whenever I want. This feels like home already.
You too can enjoy the Comcast triple play with On-Demand. Now only $99 a month for 12 months. Call 1-800-COMCAST today and enjoy access to thousands of On-Demand choices, including movies, TV series and kid shows. And now you can even watch online, anywhere, anytime.
Shaq, you're blocking my movie.
Watch it on my laptop.
You can watch it on your laptop? Wait, that's my laptop.
Hurry and call 1-800-COMCAST today and get the Comcast Triple Play with On Demand for just $99 a month for 12 months. Or step up to our HD Triple Play and get up to $200 back.
Offer ends 3-7-10 applies to starter XF Triple Play for new residential customers. After promo, regular rates apply. Equipment, installation, taxes, and fees extra.
I'm from Progressive.
Flo here. Today we're talking about
savings.
Hey, Flo, I'd love to save on my car insurance, but I don't know where to start.
You start right here. We'll compare our Progressive Direct rate to other top companies so you get a great price.
You'd do that for me?
Just for you. And everyone else.
Everyone!
Get your free quote. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or go to progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. With a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you'll end up paying over $400,000 after interest. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth System. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your debts. Let me send you a powerful free CD. For your free CD, call 1-800-449-6151. 1-800-449-6151. 1-800-449-6151.
George Tote Weed. Yeah.
Absolutely George Tote Weed. Are you kidding me, man? He feels that stuff, yeah, man. That's what I'm talking about. Feels.
He grew that...
Not burning, man. He grew it all over the country, man. He had people growing it all over the country, you know? The whole country back then was getting hot. Let me tell you, man, because he knew. He was on to something, man. He knew that it would be a good cash crop for the southern states, man. So he grew fields of it, man. But you know what? Behind every good man, there's a woman. And that woman was Martha Washington, man. And every day George would come home, she'd have a big fat bowl waiting for him, man, when he'd come in the door, man. She was a hip lady, man.
Wouldn't it be a different world? I think it would be a better world if we all sort of embrace that ethos from Dazed and Confused. In studio with us, Mason Tvert of Colorado Safer, saferchoice.org. We were just talking about health care and how the Republicans are sort of twisting in the wind. We're taking your nominees for Schmuck of the Week. Before we get back to our discussion, let me read out a couple of Schmucks of the Week being nominated. You can always nominate them. AM760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Here are a couple. Schmuck of the Week alert. The first thought that went through my head after I heard about the earthquake in Haiti, which religious douche is going to say, this is God punishing Haitians? Sure enough, we saw the same thing with Falwell after 9/11. Shame on you, Pat Robertson. He wins Schmuck of the Week by a landslide. And anyone who still follows him gets Schmucky seconds. Very good. That's a good nominee. Sirota, you need to get your medical marijuana card so you can talk about it on the air. This is from John. Rush is a schmuck for telling his didiots, ditto head idiots, to not donate to Haitian relief. And by the way, if you want to donate to Haitian relief, AM760.net, click over to the David Sirota page. Our must read of the day is the Nation article about a good vetted charities to give to and relief organizations. This is from Kevin in Chicago. My Schmuck of the Week is Pete Carroll and Lane Kiffin, who continue to prove the NCAA is a joke and has a major problem with lying coaches whose promises to their young players is nothing but a sham. Here is this is Evan. Chris Dodd is the Schmuck of the Week for his apparent willingness to abandon an independent consumer protection agency just to secure a bipartisan deal with the Senate Republicans. And thank you for bringing that up, Evan. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that Chris Dodd, the chairman of the Banking Committee, may scuttle President Obama's plan for a consumer financial protection agency. The president's proposal on Wall Street reform was fairly weak. This was the one strong piece of it, and now you've got a leading Democrat, perhaps the key Democrat, saying he's going to scuttle it. I wish I was surprised. A couple more here. Today, most bankers should be on the unemployment lines. Instead, each is taking millions of dollars of our money. Schmuck of the Week, Rush Limbaugh. That's another one. And we continue to get more. AM760.net, click over the David Sirota page. Okay, before we get back to our discussion, we were talking before about the state of the Republican Party in this country and in this state and how they're floundering around. Now, Mason, you're originally from Arizona, so you know this Congressman, John Shattuck. John Shattuck was caught on film yesterday, John Shattuck announcing that he is going to retire. And he basically, you got to hear what he has to say. This is from an extreme conservative Republican about health care. Listen to this.
I don't understand either bill. Both the House and Senate bills contain mandates that compel or would compel you and I as individual Americans to buy insurance from America's private insurance industry. I think America's private insurance industry is the problem.
So are you for a public option?
Well, you could better defend a public option than you can defend compelling me to buy a product from the people who have created the problem. America's health insurance industry has wanted this bill and the individual mandate from the get-go. That's their idea. Their idea is, look, our product's so lousy that lots of people don't buy it, so we need the government to force people to buy our product. And stunningly, that's what the Congress appears to be going along with. Why would they do that?
Congressman, you're making the progressive case here.
I'm with the progressives on this one.
I
completely agree with my progressive friends that the notion of forcing Americans to buy a product they don't want to buy from companies that aren't doing it right now is goofy.
And that was, again, Congressman John Shattuck, and a very conservative Republican. I agree with his argument. And what was amazing about that, right, is that he's saying, look, I might understand if there was a public option, forcing people to buy health insurance if you gave them a public option, which is what I've been saying for weeks. But I think this speaks to the idea that the Republican Party nationally, as tough a time as the Democrats are having, I think this shows that the Republicans are willing to say anything. I mean, John Shattuck wouldn't vote for a public option. John Shattuck hasn't voted for real health care reform for, I don't know how long. He's been in Congress for, what, almost more than 10 years, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's, is it your take that as big a problem as the Democrats have, that the Republicans may even still be in a weaker position?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, obviously the Republicans are all over the place trying to find some sort of message that works, but, you know, I'm more concerned with the fact that the other party, with the Democrats, have not seized on the opportunity. They're not unified in their, you know, front on this. They're not taking advantage of it. And ultimately, we do still see both sides, both meandering around playing politics, and it's really a problem. We're not having rational, logical discussion about solutions. We're having discussions about, you know, coming to a bipartisan conclusion, when maybe a bipartisan conclusion is not the best solution.
Maybe,
you know,
we need one party to actually stand. And so
absolutely.
So that leads me to my next question, really, really quickly, before we got to get another break here. Knowing that, knowing this right now, what do you think is going to be the top tier issues in the Colorado 2010 election? I mean, what are we actually going to be talking? What are Republicans going to be saying? What are the Democrats going to be saying?
Well, I think that there's no escaping the budget conversation. I mean, Colorado is facing a huge deficit, like a number of states. There's certainly going to be discussion of whether there will be national bailouts of states that are facing these problems. And I saw an interesting post on Colorado polls about whether Scott McInnes, if elected, would be supportive of our state using federal money out of this type of hole.
Because some states, or at least some Republican governors, have postured
Texas,
we're not going to take your money.
We don't want money for public education, to keep it, whereas there's obviously a need for it. And will our governor, you know, I hope these are the questions that do get asked of not just the governor, but the state legislators as they run for office. And so I think, you know, if you talk to any state legislator right now about this upcoming session, I think that their hands are severely tied because of the budget. There's very little they can do, and I think that it's time for them to stop worrying about passing laws and start leading a discussion about how we can solve these problems. I mean, I just get this feeling that elected officials feel like their job is to run bills and pass laws, when in many cases we just need some of them to step out and say, I don't care if I pass a bill this session. We need to have a discussion about these issues and about the solutions needed for them. Otherwise, We're not going to see the support needed for these bills moving forward.
That's right. And I think you're right. I think within one legislative session, they are nibbling around the edges of this problem, $1 billion or so budget shortfall. You know, a couple bills here, a couple bills there. I mean, these are deeper structural questions. And I know there's talk of putting something to the ballot. After the break, we will talk about, you made some headlines in Westward about a potential ballot initiative in Colorado's future to totally legalize marijuana for adult use. We will get into a discussion of that after. Turk, you ready for a traffic update? There's like 15,000 people behind him.
Hold on one second.
We got the Brewers coming in. Turk is arguing with Daryl Luby.
Hey, man, you know when beer starts flying into the studio.
Daryl Luby's yelling at him. So, okay.
I know Daryl's not a drinker, but I think he may have to have a little sip of beer today.
You gotta have Daryl. Come on, man. After the power blowout, you need a drink this week, man.
Yeah, after the power, all 7-8 stations here fried.
That was crazy.
Yeah, that was crazy.
All right, let's get traffic.
Sorry, Dave. Traffic is in decent shape for us around the metro. Just the normal jams on southbound I-25. Accident-free, things are loosening up. Speeds are turning to the 50s and 60s on I-225, both directions there at Parker Road. They have reopened Cherry Creek Dam Road, so things are looser on 22. Our forecast today, sunny with a high around 50. Tomorrow, sunny with highs in the mid to upper 50s and more sun with a high of 52. Currently, 32 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Bree Ski and Snowboard Rentals is Denver's home of the $9.99 daily ski rental. Valid at all Metro Denver locations. Get the Breeze Basic Sport Ski Rental Package for only $9.99 per day. Reserve now online at skirentals.com. Breeze, home of the $9.99 ski rental.
There is never a good time for your sewer line to plug up. Declare war on that blockage. Drain Solvers provides top quality drain cleaning and router services and will break through any blockage. Let Drain Solvers camera your sewer pipe for only $79 and clean your drain for $99. Mention this special when you call. Drain Solvers, the trenchless pipe repair specialists. Drain Solvers does whatever it takes to solve your plumbing problem. Call 303-423-1000. That's 303-423-1000. Or drainsolvers.com. Access fees may apply.
This is Mario for the law firms of Mike Turner and Scott Henderson, proud supporters of AM 760. Turner and Henderson are personal injury trial lawyers who have supported Progressive Talk since the beginning. They've devoted their entire legal careers to handling personal injury claims. They represent real people, not big insurance companies or corporations, and they've been successful at all kinds of personal injury claims. Turner and Henderson, call for free consultation at 303-300-1600.
Where can you find the best Indian, Nepal, and Tibetan cuisine? The Yak and Yeti Restaurant and Brew Pub. Family-owned, the Yak and Yeti serves lunch from 11 to 3 and dinner from 5 to 9:30, 7 days a week. And they offer vegan and vegetarian menus. Visit one of their two great locations, in Arvada on Ralston Road in Old Wadsworth and 86th and Sheridan in Westminster. Mention this ad and get 10% off your bill. TheYakAndYeti.com.
Business owners, don't rent electricity, own it. Learn now at Independent Power Systems Commercial Solar Event. The Coors Field Solar Experts will show you how your business can go solar with low upfront costs and how rebates and federal tax grants can yield a 5 to 7 year ROI. Boulder County business owners can take advantage of the Climate Smart Loan Program to go solar for zero down and one annual payment. Green your business with solar and never pay another electric bill. Learn how in Boulder, Tuesday, January 26th at the St. Julian Hotel, and Tuesday, February 2nd at the Dairy Center for the Arts. Visit solarips.com/KKZN for details or call 303-443-0015. In the neighborhood, drop by our Boulder office January 21st at 7 p.m. for the Solar Community Night. Visit solarips.com/KKZN for details or call 303-443-0015. Call 303-443-0015 for details or visit solarips.com/KKZN.
Cast presents The On-Demand Couple. On June 26th, Shaquille O'Neal was traded alone in a new town. He turned to his friend Ben Stein. Luckily, Ben had the Comcast triple play with On-Demand.
Start and stop hit TV shows and the latest movies whenever I want. This feels like home already.
You too can enjoy the Comcast Triple Play with On Demand. Now only $99 a month for 12 months. Call 1-800-COMCAST today and enjoy access to thousands of on-demand choices. including movies, TV series, and kids shows. And now, you can even watch online, anywhere, anytime.
Shaq, you're blocking my movie.
Watch it on my laptop.
You can watch it on your laptop? Wait, that's my laptop.
Hurry and call 1-800-COMCAST today and get the Comcast Triple Play with On Demand for just $99 a month for 12 months. Or step up to our HD Triple Play and get up to $200 back.
Offer ends 3-7-10, applies to starter XF Triple Play for new residential customers. After promo, regular rates apply. Equipment installation taxes and fees extra.
Ritter for his legal troubles. Pat Robertson has been nominated a bunch of times. You can call us up, give us your nominees, or instant messages, am760.net. Mason will be in also for the next hour, and we're going to start drinking some beer in the next hour as well. Real quick, before we have to get the national news, you made some headlines a couple, I guess it was a month ago or so, about potentially running a ballot initiative to legalize marijuana, not just medical marijuana, legalize marijuana for adult users. Are you going to move forward with that? We were talking off air about the public's perception of the legalization question, how it kind of peaked in the late 70s and then dipped down in the 80s. Where are we in the public's perception now, and are you going to run that ballot initiative?
Right now, more people support reforming our marijuana laws, making it legal, taxing it, regulating it like alcohol than ever before in our nation's history. And we have been working in Colorado specifically, but also around the nation, but to educate people about the facts regarding marijuana, the problems associated with its prohibition, and we're going to continue to do that. And we do plan or hope to see a ballot initiative to make it legal and regulate it statewide for adult use in the next couple of years. I would love to say we could do it this year. It's more likely we'll see it in 2012. I think we'll see more localities doing this. For example, Breckenridge, this past election cycle, removed marijuana penalties at the local level. I think this coming election cycle, we're going to see potentially multiple cities, Durango and possibly others.
8:58 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. After the national news, we're going to have Oscar Blues Brewery in studio. We're going to take a bunch of your calls. Nominees for Schmuck of the Week. They continue to roll in. You can instant message us, am760.net. You can give us a call. Got one open line, 303-713-7600. Thank God it's Friday. Thank God for beer. At least we've got beer if we don't have marijuana fully legalized. Stick around.
Solis Marriage.
TGIV. Today on the Mario Solis Marriage Show, the White House is close to brokering the health care reform deal. The guys from the lowdown will be here y mucho más.
Today at 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
With banks crumbling, retirement savings being depleted, and the economy in turmoil, there has never been a more important time to have gold on hand. The New York Mint is releasing to the public a limited number of classic gold coins, all uncirculated and more than 100 years old. For free historical information and the free collector's DVD, the number to call is 1-800-300-5798. During the Great Depression, people kept precious metals and gold coins tucked away. No one wanted to face economic turbulence without the security of gold. Nowadays, most of us have never seen a classic U.S. gold coin. But recently, a secret hoard of gleaming U.S. gold coins was discovered, all uncirculated and minted between 1866 and 1933. The New York Mint will be releasing these coins to the public on a first-come, first-served basis. Don't be without gold. While you still can, call for free historical information and the free collector's DVD. 1-800-300-5798. Again, 1-800-300-5798.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News. I'm Steve Kathan. Hope amid the horror in Haiti. A salvage effort at a collapsed hotel freed four Americans, and one indicated many other people are trapped there and still alive. Literacy volunteer Krista Brelsford spent hours and hours underneath the debris of another collapsed building.
My main objective was not to panic and to stay as calm as I could.
Her brother and some other people rescued her.
After I realized I was trapped, I didn't know how long it would take to get me out. I thought that I wasn't badly injured. I thought I could wiggle my toes.
She did lose part of one of her legs. CBS's Kelly Cobiello says many rescue operations end with tragedy.
In much of this ruined city, the cries of grief are constant. As more dead are pulled from the rubble, bodies of mothers and fathers and children line the sidewalks.
CBS's Jeff Glore says if there are relief supplies, most people in Haiti have yet to see them.
There is nothing to eat, and there is not much help in terms of services or police. No food. You see people begging on the streets for food or water, whatever they can do.
Wayne Harthill is with a religious charity trying to get a distribution system going in Haiti.
We're preparing 10,000 food kits. That's a drop in the bucket. We're going to start buying more and bringing it in. That's just the start.
The White House says $8 million has been raised by those $10-at-a-time text donations. Text Haiti to 90999. Defense Secretary Gates says the military is not ready to head off possible attacks like the massacre at Fort Hood.
It is clear that as a department, we have not done enough to adapt to the evolving domestic internal security threat to American troops and military facilities.
Gates says he expects new policies by this summer. It's the morning after a long night in Washington on health care reform. Live to the Capitol in CBS's Bob Fuss.
Pressed by President Obama, who kept negotiators at the White House late into the night, House and Senate leaders are moving closer to agreement on a final version of a health reform bill. House Democratic leader Steny Hoyer.
What we are doing is to conclude our discussions with the Senate as quickly as possible.
Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she hopes they could finish most of those details as early as today on the bill to cover 30 million Americans without insurance and dramatically change the rules for how health insurance companies operate. Live on Capitol Hill, Bob Fuss, CBS News.
One day, Sully Sullenberger was landing his big U.S. Airways jet on the Hudson River. Today, he reunited with his crew and some passengers on the CBS Early Show.
It's the best high school reunion you could imagine. We were just talking about that. Who's come the farthest? Who's changed the most? We have so much to be grateful for, and it's absolutely wonderful.
Later, everyone reunites on a boat on the Hudson River to toast their survival 1 year ago. Right now on Wall Street, the Dow is down 107, NASDAQ off 22. This is CBS News.
At Intuit, we love buttons. Start buttons, send buttons, you push the button and it just happens. Well, we do the same thing with business payroll. Intuit Online Payroll has a Create Paychecks button. When you need to pay your employees, just type in their hours and push the Create Paychecks button. Intuit Payroll does all the calculations to create your paychecks and helps you pay your taxes. There's even live help if you need it. Get a 30-day free trial of Intuit Online Payroll at Intuit.com. That's Intuit.com.
Now at the Home Depot, save an instant $50 to $250 on in-stock bath products to update your bathroom. Brands like American Standard and Delta. Just spend $500 or more. Remodel your thinking, too, because by putting the money you save back into your project, you can afford a nicer bathroom than you thought, thanks to instant savings of up to $250. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through February 28th, U.S. only. See store for details.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. Volunteers from Colorado have been in Haiti since long before the earthquake hit, but now their efforts are focused on helping survivors. The Colorado Haiti Project is linked to the Episcopal Church, and Director Paul Casey says there's more to Haiti than its status as the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere.
Haiti was actually making some good progress. There was political stability. There was good movement forward on building infrastructure that was badly needed. And, the earthquake has really set that back quite a bit.
Casey says it will be some time before the focus can shift from rescue and recovery to reconstruction. The debate over medical marijuana has led to death threats against a state lawmaker. State Representative Tom Massey tells the Denver Post he's gotten three separate calls from people threatening to bomb and set his house on fire if he introduces a bill to close medical marijuana dispensaries. The Chaffee County Sheriff's Office has set up security around Massey's home and his office at the Colorado State Capitol. In sports, no Avs or Nuggets tonight. In college basketball, though, both UNC and Metro State are in action tonight. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where police are wrapping up an accident. This one occurred westbound 36, right around Church Ranch. Could kind of hang things up for a little bit as you're pulled around trying to make your way on those westbound lanes. I-70 also a bit sluggish approaching 270, but that's about it for trouble spots as far as the highways go. So we'll take a quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be a mild day with sunny skies, a high near 52. Currently it's 34. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Right now.
Winter driving, it's just not normal.
When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly, and plow far and wide. Very wide. Slow down when approaching a snow plow. They're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snowplow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind a plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snowplows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Hey, it's time for beer, and we still have in studio Mason Tavert of Colorado Safer. Mason, of course, has written a book about why there need to be alternatives to all kinds of different recreational substances, and one of the recreational substances that we also like. You can like both beer and marijuana. There is no conflict between beer and marijuana at all. I think John Turk can speak to that. Can't you, Turk? There's no conflict between...
I don't know why you're bringing me... I guess not. No.
Well, they're very similar. You know, you've got different types of hops. You've got different types of marijuana. Some people might enjoy the activity of producing it themselves. Others might just want to.
They're very similar.
Get it elsewhere.
Hops and cannabis are sister plants, aren't they?
There you go. And so in studio we have Chris Kachetis of Oscar Blues Brewers. They're at 303 Main Street in Lyons. That's 303 Main Street in Lyons. You can find their website at oscarblues.com. They're also in Longmont and Boulder as well. And you can find their website again, oscarblues.com. Chris, thanks for being in studio with us as well.
Hey, thanks for having me, Dave.
Let's see, what are we going to have first here?
We're going to start with our flagship beer, which is the Dale's Pale Ale.
Let's open it up there. There you go. Ooh, all right, Dale's Pale Ale is opening up, which is fantastic. Now tell us about, as you pour some beer for us, tell us about Oscar Blues Brewery. How big are you? How big is the brewery? Where can people find your beers? And I'm noticing that all of your beers in studio here are cans.
Absolutely. Well, we are the Oscar Blues Brewery. You're right. We're in Lyons, Colorado, and Longmont, Colorado. We are the first microbrewery in the country to brew and can our beer.
Why is that? I mean, is canning a beer, does that take a special process? Is it more expensive? Why?
Well, at first it was more expensive to can beer because you had to buy like a million cans at a time. So,
but didn't you have to buy a lot of bottles also if you were going to bottle it?
No, I don't believe that you could actually go to a bottle shop and buy a case of bottles and make your own labels and bottle your own beer right at home if you'd like to.
So you probably can't do that.
You can't do that with cans. And we got a local company, Ball Corporation, who makes our cans. They said, hey, listen, we'll help you guys out in getting this started. We'll make a very low amount of cans so you can get started. I mean, we couldn't have no way placed a million cans.
So how long ago did you decide to start canning beer?
It came out about 2002 when we got an unsolicited fax from Cass Technologies in Alberta, Canada, asking all microbreweries to give it a shot. Try canning your beer.
All right, so I've got to ask this question, and I don't know the answer. I'm drinking Dale's Pale Ale, which, frankly, I've had Dale's Pale Ale. Mm-hmm. Dale's Pale Ale is awesome.
Thanks.
I mean, people love... Yeah, I tell you something. I've been living in this state for 3 years now. It's a beer that comes up kind of in conversation, even if you're not a beer person, right? People are like, oh, I love Dale's. Like, I hear that at parties and stuff. Not that I'm sounding like I'm a big party guy, but Dale's is kind of everywhere. What's the difference for a beer drinker between a can and a bottle? I mean, is there a difference in taste? Is there a difference in some kind of consistency?
Absolutely. I mean, cans, first of all, the way you look at a can is it never sees light. You see all these bottle beers are brown bottles. That's to keep light, UV rays from going in and messing with the chemicals of the beer. This beer right here never sees light, so it stays fresher longer. It's the lowest dissolved oxygen the oxygenated container in the world. So that means less oxygen, less air makes the beer fresher. I mean, that goes with anything. That could be a regular domestic beer compared to the bottle. The can's going to be a fresher beer.
Well, that's interesting. So a can, because when I think, I mean, maybe it's because so few microbreweries use cans, but because when I think of canned beer, you sort of think
Dad's beer.
Swaggy beer.
Dad's beer. Yeah, exactly. Well, hopefully we're changing the minds of people and their thoughts on that, because there's now over 50 microbreweries in the country canning beer. You know, obviously it's great to take outdoors. You know, it's portable. It's 100% recyclable. So it has a lot of things. But let me let you know, it's just not for outdoors. It's a year-round package. This beer right here goes good at Christmas parties, New Year's Eve parties. You walk in with a 12-pack of Dale's Pale Ale, you're probably going to get invited back to the party.
Absolutely. Now, is Dale's your best-selling beer?
It is our flagship, and it is our best-selling beer, correct.
Okay. And again, in studio with us, Chris Katechis of Oscar Blues Brewery. They're at 303 Main Street in Lyons. They also have locations in Longmont and Boulder. They're the makers of Dale's Pale Ale, among others here. And we're drinking Dale's Pale Ale. And Mason Tavert is in studio with us as well. We're also taking nominees for Schmuck of the Week. My Schmuck of the Week, Pat Robertson. I don't know, Chris, I'll put you on the spot. You got a Schmuck of the Week?
Yeah, I got a Schmuck of the Week. Anybody that does not drink beer out of a can, you're going to be a Schmuck of the Week.
There you go. All right. So we got, all right, let's just go down the list here. We got the Denver Post for its anti-marijuana coverage been nominated for Schmuck of the Week. Scott Ritter for getting in trouble with the law, apparently being investigated for soliciting a minor. There you go. Pat Robertson for his horrendous comments about Haiti. Pat Robertson's audience, Mason nominates Pat Robertson's audience as Schmuck of the Week. And anybody who doesn't drink a beer out of a can, that's a good nominee. We'll go to the phones here. Errol and Greeley. Errol, you got a Schmuck of the Week?
Hello, how you doing,
Mike? All right, we're doing well. We got beer here, so we're doing real well.
I had to do a little soul searching. There are so many schmucks that it's hard to come up with just the right one. But my Schmuck of the Week is Terrence Carroll. Here's a guy that should know better. He's forgot all about affirmative action. He's forgot about all of the people that put their lives on the line so that he could take office and speak his piece in America. He has no idea what the First Amendment is.
What's your grievance with him specifically?
When he attacked Castro and took his
Okay, and just for folks who don't know about that, and I asked Terrence Carroll about this, Representative Ed Casso, when Bill Ritter announced that he was retiring, Representative Casso, who has been a critic of Bill Ritter, basically said, and I'm paraphrasing here, but basically said, good riddance. You know, Bill Ritter has been a failure, and Ed Casso, by the way, is a Democrat. And so Democratic Speaker Terrence Carroll demoted Ed Casso from his, he was a vice chairman of a committee, and Ed Casso got demoted, and it was seen as this sort of party retaliation. And that's a good nominee. And I took Terrence Carroll to task. I asked him about it on our radio show, and let me throw it to Mason Tavert here. Mason, there's been a discussion in state about whether the Democratic Party in Colorado is kind of autocratic, right? And we had a discussion about whether John Hickenlooper would be crowned the nominee and there wouldn't be a contested primary. Is it your view that the Democratic Party in Colorado is a top-down kind of party that doesn't really allow for much dissent?
It certainly seems that way based on my experience. I will say that...
And by the way, you can disagree with me.
No.
I'm not going to throw beer at you.
I have to say I do agree, but I don't think that's the case here in Colorado any more than in most places. I mean, I think that that's really the case. That's the norm nationwide is that's what political parties are. When you start grouping people together and then having seniority play a major role and so on, and having your party status as a something that will play a role in your effectiveness, we really do disable a lot of legislators, because, you know, if you're a Democrat, for example, you can really in many cases only be as strong as your Democratic colleagues are, because, you know, if they're going to resist and what have you, they're going to leave you relatively ineffective in a lot of the things you want to do. So, you know, I think that's a huge problem. I will say I know Terrence Carroll not very well, but I know him. I generally do like him on several things, like criminal justice reform, for example. I
I thought, look, I thought it was a heavy-handed move.
Right? Yeah,
I thought it was kind of heavy-handed. I mean, I'm not, and Errol, thanks for your call. It's not, to me, it wasn't kind of like, I wasn't like, oh, I disagree with him on policy. It's more like, dude, you got other fights to fight. I mean, you know.
And it defies leadership, in my opinion. I mean, this notion that you will be demoted or you will be disciplined or rendered a lesser elected official because you say what you think.
Right.
It's anti-leadership. It's sending this message. It's got a chilling effect on other legislators and letting them know that you better not criticize something that you may see as wrong because you stand to lose your level of effectiveness. And I think that is a huge problem.
Well, and I think that, you know, we've discussed on this show, and again, in studio with us is Mason Tvert of Colorado Safer and also Chris Katechis from Oscar Blues Brewery, and we're gonna try our next beer here. And Chris, what are we going to try next?
Oh, we're going to try our next beer down the whole road, and it's called Mama's Little Yellow Pills.
It's called Mama's Little Yellow Pills. There How you go. How cool of a name is that? That is a very cool name. Tell us about this beer.
This right here is a nice, very easy, light German lager. It's got some Czechoslovakian hop in it, so a very session beer.
Drinkability
to you and me, Dave.
That's drinkability. Oh, yeah, that is drinkability.
Something
right.
You can have a few of.
That's a little lighter than Dale's.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. It's a lager compared to a pale.
I should ask you about all of your beers. How much of the material for your beers do you get in-state? How much do you get out of state or out of the country? Because you mentioned that there's some Czech ingredients here.
Right. Well, mostly all of our ingredients come from the Northwest up into Washington State, the hops and all. Mm-hmm. But there are some European hops that we do get from overseas as well.
How many people do you guys employ at Oscar Brewery,
well,
roughly?
Roughly, we're around 40 employees at the brewery. And we have two restaurants as well.
It's an incredible, I tell you something, the microbrew, craft brew industry in this state is just such an amazing story about locally owned businesses. I mean, and it's something that people are feel pride about. When you tell people you live in Colorado, it's becoming known as the kind of Napa Valley of beer. And by the way, it speaks to Mason, the issue that you work on,
which is
marijuana. I mean, It seems to me that the craft brewing industry here should show what a marijuana industry could be in terms of just an economic engine.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, there's a lot of people out there who think that if marijuana were made legal and adults were allowed to cultivate it themselves, we would see, you know, a marijuana garden in everyone's backyard. But that would be just as ridiculous as everyone brewing their own beer, which they obviously don't do. In fact, people couldn't even brew their own beer until the 70s when Jimmy Carter passed the Home Brewing Act.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, so, you know, prohibition was repealed and alcohol was made available and was licensed, the production distribution was licensed, but it was still illegal to produce your own. And
who was allowed to make it?
Folks who received a specific license
to
from
make
the
it.
Government to
I
produce
see.
It. And
even
it got,
for themselves?
Even, well, you know, I don't,
in other words, we still have liquor,
they,
we still have liquor licenses right now, but.
Well, the liquor licenses we think of right now are typically when it comes to zoning issues and when you're able to sell it and so on. But you certainly need to be licensed to produce it. I don't quite know all the facts around.
Okay, but point is, you could not homebrew until
you
the
could
70s.
Not until the 70s, at which time many people decided to do it. Many maybe started doing that, which resulted in them deciding to start a business that ultimately led to a microbrewery. But in large part, you know, people like variety. Obviously, brewing is a long process. It's not exactly convenient for a lot of people. They don't know how to do it. It's expensive, and they want to have it available when they want it. So, you know, they trust good folks like Chris and Oscar Blues to produce it so that they can get it when they want it and enjoy it. And that would be very similar to what we'd see with marijuana. Some people might opt to try producing their own. We would certainly have regulations on how much they produce, much like with beer. You're not allowed to set up a microbrew in your backyard and sell it and so on. You have to get a license and so on. So it would be very similar, where some people might enjoy producing their own, but most people would find it more convenient and would find a better variety, and it's more economical for them to secure it from a licensed producer.
Well, we're drinking Mama's Little Yellow Pills here, and in studio with us, Mason Tvert of Colorado Saver and Chris Kotechis of Oscar Blues Brewery. They're up in Lyons and Longmont and Boulder, and I tell you something, this is real drinkable. Mama's Little Yellow Pills is real drinkable. I'm still more of a fan of Dale's, just because I'm a hoppier guy. Turk has actually, I think hops are kind of an acquired taste.
And Chris
taste,
was
if
saying, you guys
this.
Have a seasonal coming out, spring, summer,
yeah,
early
we
summer
do.
Seasonal.
We do. We caught the Gubna, which is pretty much southern for governor. Big, bodacious, 100 IBU, all summit hopped Imperial IPA. It's going to come out around March. It's going to kind of just fall in right behind the Imperial Stout that we have out right now, which is a winter seasonal, which we're about to try here really soon. But yeah, all your craft drinkers out there, about 60% of them, maybe a little more, are hopheads. That's the style.
It is. I find the IPA and the hoppy stuff, it's been an acquired taste, but sure. Now I've become kind of like obsessed with it. And I should mention, before we get a break, you're going to be at the Argonaut today.
Absolutely.
On Colfax,
yep.
From 3 to 6, tasting all. People can come and get a taste of some of these.
Absolutely,
beers.
They come down to Argonaut from 3 to 6 today. Those guys really take good care of us. So we're going to sample our beers today, and if you come in and buy a package, whether it be a 4-pack, 6-pack, or 12-pack, I'm going to give you a little bit of a incentive. I'm going to give you a little extra beer to take home with you from the brewery.
I tell you something. We're drinking the beer now from Oscar Blues. If you're around Colfax, 3 to 6 today, get over there to the Argonaut and taste some of this stuff. After the break, I'm going to fill you in on a little declaration by Tom Tancredo. Tom Tancredo, one of the people, he might be nominated for Schmuck of the Week for trying to politicize the Haitian crisis himself. He's making some immigration comments as they relate to the Haitian crisis. Stick around after a traffic update with John Turk.
Before it gets traffic, Dave, just one more vote coming in. It is for Mark McGuire, Schmuck of the
Week.
Oh,
yes. Yeah, that's...
A vote.
He's definitely getting a vote.
He's now made the list, and he is a big one.
He should be at the top of the list as well. That's absolutely true. But I got to say something. If we're going to nominate Mark McGuire for Schmuck of the Week, I got to go with Dave Zirin, the sports writer, who also said the owners, management, Major League Baseball, that knew this was going on but didn't do anything.
Yeah, you
got to
be
in there,
like,
too.
Oh, shocking.
I know. Seriously.
We had no idea.
Seriously.
Almost every cleanup hitter in the major leagues.
I know.
You know, Double-A baseball, Mark McGuire, Jose Canseco, Terry Steinbeck, Luis Polonia all played for the Huntsville Stars, which was a minor league team for the A's. And I remember the cat. You know, he used to come into our little restaurant. That
McGuire.
McGuire. And he was a skinny,
I know.
You know, he still could hit and he could still play baseball.
I know.
It's really
incredible. I was telling Turk, I've got my old baseball cards of Barry Bonds, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know,
I have Barry Bonds' rookie card. He's like tiny and now he's like a monster. So, you know, it's all of baseball, but that's a good nomination. All right, let's get a traffic update.
All right, you got it, Dave. Traffic is shaping up for us. Speeds back in the 50s and 60s. Most of the major highways. We do have one current accident, westbound I-70 around Colorado Boulevard. Going to start hitting the brakes back around 270. Also slow going southbound I-25, 104th to 84th. And westbound Turnpike, Sheridan to Church Ranch due to a late accident. Forecast, mostly sunny, breezy, highs in the upper 40s. Right now, 36 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Now that the holidays are over, it's time to stock up on all the things my family uses most.
Member Yolanda Williams on Sam's Club Savings.
Bounty, Tide, Charmin, you can't beat the prices.
Sam's Club members save up to 37% on laundry and home care.
Those savings could more than pay for my membership.
Become a Sam's Club Plus member January 13th through the 26th and get an extra $100 in e-value savings. Visit your local Sam's Club to learn more. Sam's Club. Savings made simple.
Some things can be left to chance. A coin toss, a lottery ticket, a palm reading. But not your safety. That's why, in a crash, OnStar Automatic Crash Response can use built-in sensors to automatically alert an OnStar advisor.
This is OnStar. Do you need help?
If you're injured or your cell phone's out of reach, they can direct emergency help to your exact GPS location, leaving your safety to the experts, not to chance. OnStar is standard for the first year on 15 Chevy models. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations.
Hi, this is Mario for the law firms of Mike Turner and Scott Henderson.
proud supporters of AM 760. Turner and Henderson are personal injury trial lawyers who have supported Progressive Talk since the beginning. They've devoted their entire legal careers to handling personal injury claims. They represent real people, not big insurance companies or corporations, and they've been successful at all kinds of personal injury claims. Turner and Henderson, call for free consultation at 303-300-1600.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, if you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
303-424-1622 or online at majorheating.com. Start living greener today.
Well, beer, you get some great times. When I was 17, I drank some very good beer. I drink some very good beer.
It's Friday. It's time for beer. In studio with us, Oscar Blues Brewery, Chris Katechis, also Mason Tvert of Colorado Safer. Look at it. We are. I feel like President Clinton. Remember President Clinton at the famous event with Yasser Arafat and Yitzhak Rabin, bringing together. Not that you guys are the Israelis
Damn
and the
Jewish.
Palestinians.
You know,
not that you guys are the Israelis and the Palestinians. But we can all. Can't we all just get along? And actually, I think that there isn't between the microbreweries and the pro marijuana community. I don't think there's a conflict there. I want to fill people in on this story from Tom Tancredo. This is off of Tom Tancredo's Twitter feed. And we were talking about Schmucks of the Week. Maybe you want to nominate. We're taking your nominations for Schmucks of the Week. 303-713-7600. Tom Tancredo, on his Twitter feed yesterday, he says, Rahm Emanuel, he's referring to the White House Chief of Staff, says, use every crisis. And Tancredo goes on to say, watch them exploit tragedy in Haiti with a huge expansion of immigration, temporary visas, then none of the Haitians go home. I mean, is that really somebody's first reaction to this horrendous crisis where hundreds of thousands of people may have been killed, to say, you know, to not only attack President Obama, but then to say that, oh, the worst thing that could happen is that we allow some of those folks in Haiti to come here if need be to prevent an absolute human tragedy. I mean, that's Tom Tancredo for you. He might get some nominations for Schmuck of the Week, and it's really pretty nasty. Now, I do have some criticism for President Obama. I have to say this, and I wonder, both of you, I wonder what you think. The news yesterday was that President Obama is going to be writing the cover story for Newsweek. Now, my first reaction to this, and maybe you tell me that I'm the schmuck of the week for saying this, right? That I'm kind of like, dude, don't you have enough to do to like manage the crisis? And maybe you say, oh, well, Sirota, you know, somebody else in the White House is really going to write that article. It's not going to come from Obama. He's not really going to write. But I'm also kind of like, dude, do you really, like, you're in the center of this, you're the president, do you really need the extra exposure? Am I wrong? Maybe I'm the schmuck.
I'm gonna, you know, I'll play devil's advocate. I mean, I do somewhat agree, and I'll play devil's advocate on the Tom Tancredo thing as well. So, you know, quite frankly, I'm not someone who agrees with Tom Tancredo on 98% of things, probably. He certainly has started to come around on the drug policy stuff. So first of all, regarding Tancredo.
Right.
I would say, The guy is obviously committed to the immigration issue. He truly believes in his positions. He believes immigration is a problem. So I will say that, you know, the notion that he is taking an opportunity to discuss the subject is no different than when, for example, my organization highlights alcohol-related deaths or tragedies to point out that our system is, you know, problematic and related in some way. So while I don't agree with him, I certainly at least respect the fact that he is genuine in what he's saying. I don't agree with what he's saying at all.
Except for one thing. I mean, he's supposed to be against illegal immigration. That's what he says he's against, right?
Yes.
And he is making the case that it would be horrible if we created some sort of temporary or more permanent increase in legal immigration to deal with what everybody acknowledges is an awful crisis.
And that's a very good point. I think that highlights perhaps some of his motivation.
That's what I'm saying. And this is where I'm saying he's not honest.
Yeah.
Is that he always says, I'm just about legal immigration versus illegal immigration, you know, and it's not about race or ethnicity or anything like that. And now all of a sudden he's like, wait, I'd be against legal immigration if it was black people from Haiti.
Yes.
Right? That's my problem.
I hear you completely. I agree with
that. Now, what do you think about the
with Obama, the, yeah. I don't like this whole thing where people are criticizing him for being in the news or for seeking attention, because like I was saying earlier, I don't think the only role of leaders is to legislate.
That's a fair point.
You know, he is the opinion leader of the nation, or at least is supposed to be, and I think that he does serve a huge purpose in terms of saying this is how it is. I mean, who knows better about what's going on with our, you know, our national policy than the guy who's in charge of it in many ways? So I don't have a problem with him, whether it's someone else who writes it and he signs off on it.
That's fair enough. I just want to, I'll just close that. Let me give myself the last word here, because now I'm being the schmuck because I'm claiming
hey, it's
time.
Your show.
But I will say this. You make a good point. And I guess the other criticism I've heard of this is that Newsweek, that this is actually a commentary on the media, that what you want from news organizations is an investment in reporting on what's going on in Haiti, maybe an interview with Obama to ask him some tough questions about U.S. foreign policy, that simply outsourcing the pages of news organizations to basically let a politician just issue effectively a glorified press release is not what we need from journalism. And so the criticism, the other side of the criticism I've heard of this is less about Obama and more about what our news organizations are doing. All right, let's turn back to beer for a second here, because that's always a unifying thing. You guys, again, in studio, Chris Katechis and Mason Tver. Chris is from Oscar Blues, a brewery. We're going to try a new beer, and as you open the new beer, tell us what the beer is, and you guys have a new location in Longmont. Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's do a little Old Chub here for Obama.
Awesome. Old Chub.
And I noticed that Chris has a tattoo of Old Chub.
You've got a tattoo of Old Chub on your... That is commitment.
I haven't committed to the marijuana tattoo yet.
Now, this is... I'm reading your promotional material here. Old Chub, you describe as a jaw-dropping Scottish strong ale, 8% alcohol. It's brewed with bodacious amounts of malted barley and special grains. Tell us about this beer, and also, again, about your new location.
Sure. Absolutely. Thanks. So the Old Chub is kind of the other end of the spectrum for us. It's a maltier beer. It is balanced with American English hops, but it's a style to people that like a darker, stronger beer. You know, like I said, very chocolatey, caramelly. I almost get like a little burnt raisin out of it. Perfect to sit around a campfire, you know, and just have a couple of these.
Really,
yeah,
this is really good.
This is
really good.
This is great.
And Turk always says, whenever I say a dark beer is good, he's like, you're such a porter head, or you're such a malt guy.
I'll say that is me. I definitely appreciate a good dark beer.
Well, you know, it's all about, you know, what you feel like, you know, what your style is. You know, some days you might wake up and you say, hey, I want a domestic style beer, but, you know, sometimes you wake up and you go, I want a little something darker.
This is really excellent. Old Chub. This is fantastic. Yeah. And your new location in Longmont.
Yeah, absolutely. So we just opened a microbrewery over into the Longmont over on Pikes Road and Sunset in last May. And then Dale Katechis and his wife decided to open up a restaurant right down the road from it called Oscar Blues Homemade Liquids and Solids, which is right off of Hover Road, about a quarter mile down the road from the brewery. Also, the brewery has a tasting room called the Tasty Weasel, and it's open at 3 o'clock Monday through Sunday. If you want to come in and try something unique, we barrel age a lot of our beers on the Stranahan's whiskey here in Denver. We also do some Firkin kegs on Fridays. We call it Firkin Friday.
Nice.
But, you know, Longmont, this new restaurant is a Cajun-themed with blues music on Friday and Saturday nights right now. We have 43 beers across the country, craft beers, so you can come in and try if anything from California to New York. So
this is really good. This Old Chub is really fantastic.
I was, you know, seeing as my role here in some ways is to tie everything back to marijuana. You know, I noticed that Chris is incredibly knowledgeable about, you know, the ingredients of these beers, what people enjoy about them, what they, you know, maybe prefer and so on. And I just find it so interesting that, you know, when it comes to marijuana, for example, we often hear all these jokes about different names of it. We see news coverage saying, oh, there's purple haze, northern lights, and these goofy names, and like people, anyone who knows about marijuana in that, you know, to the extent that they are aware of what type it is and so on, is a pothead. They must be a pothead. They must, you know, would anyone say that Chris, just because he knows about beer, is an alcoholic? And I certainly wouldn't say that. He seems like a good sober gent who just enjoys a good beer.
As we drink down beer at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, we haven't got to 12 o'clock
but,
yet.
But, you know, right? I just find it interesting how we see people who are knowledgeable about these two substances.
It's a very, very good point, and you made the point that, and Chris is going to be at the Argonaut from 3 to 6 on Colfax today for some beer tasting, and you were saying, you know, that would not be allowed. If anyone suggested doing a medical marijuana tasting, even if everybody had a card, people would go absolutely crazy. Let's take a couple calls here if we can, squeeze them in. Zeke and Golden, real quick. Zeke, fire away. You got a schmuck of the week.
I just want to agree with the Pat Robinson nomination. But there's also a couple more that we had happen earlier this week. I want to nominate John Suthers and the Denver City Council. I work at one of the local dispensaries. And the stuff that happened Monday was just ridiculous.
Well, you know, there's been a contentious debate about this. Some people have said that what the Denver City Council did was pretty good. Some people have said it's terrible. I think most people who are for marijuana policy reforms have said that what John Suthers is trying to do is decidedly bad. Mason, where do you come down on those?
Well, I think typically anything John Suthers wants to do is probably bad, mm-hmm. regardless of what subject we're talking about. I do agree that the proposal he's backing at the state level is egregiously bad. It, you know, would cause far more problems than it would resolve, if any. With regards to the Denver City Council, it is at the risk of upsetting folks in the medical marijuana community, who I certainly, you know, defend and work with and in some cases now rely on with regards to their support of our work. I hear the concerns regarding the Denver City Ordinance, and I hear the concerns regarding Chris Romer's bill that had been proposed. However, you know, I think that this is a starting point. The City Council Ordinance, although it does do some things prohibiting future growth, it locked in 180 plus dispensaries. We can't. This is a city that said they would never allow adults to use marijuana. We can't complain too much, and I think there's room for us to work with this.
Let's go to another call. Dave in Littleton. Dave, you're on AM 760.
Morning. How you guys doing?
All right, we're doing real well. What's going on?
You guys are all my heroes drinking 9 o'clock in the morning, man. That's awesome.
Thanks, man.
You guys, beer rocks. We use it a lot for camping and ice fishing. It's easy to pack in. It's easy to pack out.
You're talking about Dale's Pale Ale?
Yeah, Dale. We used to drink Dale in the summertime in an old tub when we go ice fishing.
Nice.
And then
you got a nominee for Schmuck of the Week?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to nominate Tancredo for Schmuck of the Week and Rush Limbaugh's Douche of the Week.
And there you go. So you're dividing between Schmuck and Douche.
Are you allowed to say Douche?
Yeah. You're allowed to say that. Douche. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we sort of use it for special purposes around here in the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. And I can't, you know, I can't argue with you. Those are good nominees. And Tancredo, I mean, really, when I read that, I was just, I mean, this guy really. I guess the good thing is, man, and I'm glad you bring it up, is that. is that Tom Tancredo, in saying what he said, sort of exposes what he's all about beneath his whole, like, oh, I'm only against illegal immigration. Hey, thanks for the call. 939 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're taking your nominees for Schmuck of the Week. We've gotten nominations for Pat Robertson, Pat Robertson's audience, Terrence Carroll, Mark McGuire, Tom Tancredo for his statements about immigration. After the break, we're going to taste a little bit more of Oscar Blues beer. It's Chris Kotechis is in studio with us. So is Mason Tvert of Colorado Safer. We've been talking about drug policy reform, the state of play in Colorado. After the break, I'll fill you in on a couple of stories and news of the weird, including a mystery object that whizzed by the Earth. Yeah, NASA has no idea what it was, 50 feet in diameter, whizzed by the Earth. Nobody has any idea what it is. Is it a UFO? I'll fill you in after a traffic update with John Turk.
He said whiz. Man, we're drinking beer and you say that? Jeez, Dave.
Beavis and Butthead.
You said whiz. Kill me or what? Anyway, traffic is shaping up for us still. Just a couple accidents around the metro to avoid right now. Westbound I-70 at Colorado, small backups to 270. Also a new one at 12th and Sheridan. Forecast, sunny with a high around 50 degrees. Tomorrow going to be about the same. A little warmer, though, with highs in the mid-50s. And on Sunday, a little cooler with a high of 52. Currently 39 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Toyota owners, road safety starts where rubber meets road. Through January, when you visit your local neighborhood Toyota dealer, buy three tires and get the fourth for just $1. For the right tires at the right price, trust your neighborhood Toyota dealer. Toyota, the right choice.
Imagine what police go through to chase down your car if it's stolen. Speeding down freeways, dodging innocent cars. Now, imagine what it's like when you have the power to tell police that OnStar can reduce the power to your car. Wouldn't you love to see the look on the thief's face when he realizes he's seconds from getting busted? Only OnStar has stolen vehicle slowdown, and it's available on select 09 and newer Chevy vehicles. Success varies with conditions. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. Today we're talking about
savings.
Hey, Flo. I'd love to save on my car insurance, but I don't know where to start.
You start right here. We'll compare our Progressive Direct rate to other top companies so you get a great price.
You'd do that for me?
Just for you and everyone else.
Everyone!
While you're online, check out Progressive.com today for a free quote. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Hey, this is Mario for the law firms of Mike Turner and Scott Henderson, proud supporters of AM 760. Turner and Henderson are personal injury trial lawyers who have supported Progressive Talk since the beginning. They've devoted their entire legal careers to handling personal injury claims. They represent real people, not big insurance companies or corporations, and they've been successful at all kinds of personal injury claims. Turner and Henderson, call for free consultation at 303-300-1600.
Now that the holidays are over, it's time to stock up on all the things my family uses most.
Member Yolanda Williams on Sam's Club Savings.
Bounty, Tide, Charmin, you can't beat the prices.
Sam's Club members save up to 37% on laundry and home care.
Those savings could more than pay for my membership.
Become a Sam's Club Plus member January 13th through the 26th and get an extra $100 in e-value savings. Visit your local Sam's Club to learn more. Sam's Club, savings made simple.
It's time to buy that boat. Bring the family to the Denver Boat Show at the Colorado Convention Center this weekend. See hundreds of new boats and the latest in boating accessories. Don't miss the Tiki Party Friday and Saturday nights, sponsored by your neighborhood Toyota stores. Discount tickets available at denverboatshow.com. Life is better with a boat.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
100-6244. 1-800-500-6244.
Hi, this is Troy Hampshire, host of the Dollars and Cents Show. Join us every Saturday morning, 11 a.m. on AM 760. We are your 401k rollover and IRA specialist. Give your money the power and protection that you need every Saturday morning, 11 a.m., Dollars and Cents on AM 760.
We're taking your nominees for Schmuck of the Week, 303-713-7600. We got a couple open lines. Also want to fill you in on a few news of the weirds before we get to another beer here in studio with us, Chris Katechis of Oscar Blues Brewery. You can find them in Longmont and up in Lyons. Also Mason Tavert of Colorado Safer. AP report, a mystery object from space whizzed. Said whiz. Oh, there's the news. Very good, Turk. That was good. You got it right on time. Mystery object from space is about to has whizzed. Yes, I said the word whiz. I'm reading from the AP report. Whizzed close by Earth on Wednesday. It did not obviously hit our planet, but scientists are stumped by exactly what it is. Astronomers say it may be space junk. It could be a tiny asteroid too small to cause damage, even if it hit. It's 33 to 50 feet wide, but they have no idea what it is. A couple more news of the weird. A Florida couple marry in a market where they met. One Broward County couple decided to tie the knot in a Whole Foods market. I wonder if that's, you think that's better than getting, you know, proposing on the big screen at like a ball game? Yeah, maybe. Bookie refuses to pay
that's
out.
That's lame, Dave.
You think it's kind of
I would
lame.
Never, ever do that.
In a whole paycheck, too? I mean, you know. Bookie refuses to $11 million on snow bet. A bookmaker, this is a British bookmaker, is refusing to pay out more than £7 million or $11 million to a man who gambled on a white Christmas across the UK as the bet was accepted. Apparently, allegedly, by mistake. Hockey, I love this. This headline. This is from Islamabad. Hockey men fined over a beer and a hug. Pakistan's parliament fined a national hockey player and two team officials for un-Islamic behavior after pictures circulated of them hugging and apparently drinking alcohol in Argentina last month. I don't love the story, but the headline, being fined over a beer and a hug.
I mean, didn't know they had hockey in Pakistan.
Neither did I. But being fined over beers and hugging when you're drinking beers, I mean, I'd get fined a lot, I guess. Sometimes when you have a lot of beer, it's the I love you, man phenomenon. All right, we're going to have a little bit more beer. We're taking your nominees for Schmuck of the Week. We're going to also go to the phones. All right, what are we having here now?
Oh, well, this one right here is really one I think of our beers as one of the best beers that we brew. This is the Gordon Imperial Red Strong Ale.
Awesome.
And a beautiful beer. This was named after Gordon. I had a little short story on him. He was a influential person in my brother's startup of brewing beer, and his motto was, the more hops you put in the beer, the better. Gentleman was a volunteer firefighter for Boulder County. In 2002, we had our big Elkhorn fire up in Pinewood Springs. He was fighting the fire with a helicopter and fell to his death. So
you named the beer after
him. So we named the beer after him. That's why it says Gordon period on it.
That's a nice touch. And just so folks know, Chris, you are the brother of Dale, who was the owner of Oscar Blues Brewery.
I am.
And you are, so you are like the lieutenant governor.
That's exactly what I am, yeah. The lieutenant governor.
And you're from Alabama. Is he from Alabama as well?
He is from Alabama.
So
yeah.
You guys moved up here for what reason? Was it to open the beer brewery?
You know, Dale and his wife, Christy Katechis, and his mother, Shirley. Hi, Mom. Yeah, yeah. they all came up to Colorado to live out west, you know, and live abroad. And on his way into Colorado, he went to Auburn University and met some fraternity brothers in Boulder, and they were like, hey, man, we know where there's a really cool place you could live and be close to us. And they took them to Estes Park, which is home of the Rocky Mountain National Park.
Very cool
place. And on the way up there, you go through this little place called Lyons, Colorado.
You know, I got to get up to Lyons. I want to go to the vintage arcade up there. I know I heard it's really cool.
It is cool.
It is really cool.
25-cent pinball games.
Hey, man, I am doing a research on a book about 80s pop culture. I got to get up there. I could write it off. I could write off my whole trip.
Do they have RC Cola vending machines and stuff like that?
You know, I don't think so, but that would be pretty cool if they did. Yeah.
We'll go to the phones and get some more nominees for Schmuck of the Week. We've got a bunch of schmucks nominated. Tancredo, Mark McGuire, Terrence Carroll, Pat Robertson. We'll go to, we'll go to Will, who's been holding the longest. Will, you're on AM 760. Will from Broomfield.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Dan.
I think it's a tie between Rush Limbaugh and Pat Robertson, and what they said between the two of them encapsulates everything that's wrong or bad with the Republican Party. You've got the superstitious religious nonsense. You've got the Ayn Rand attitude. You've got the hidden racism in both of their messages. It all ties up everything that's bad about the Republican Party, combining what those two guys said.
Yeah, I definitely agree, and I think that the issue is Will, though. I had a discussion. I forget who I was talking to earlier this week. That I get the sense, and Mason, I'll ask you this question: do you get the sense that there has become an industry now that it's almost, they think that Keith Olbermann and Rush Limbaugh go out and have drinks after work. In the sense of that, I mean, they don't actually go out and have drinks after work. But the idea is that they both get something out of the transaction. Both sides get something out of the transaction, right? Rush Limbaugh says something crazy, and then MSNBC and liberal media goes insane, and then Rush Limbaugh then plays the quote-unquote liberal media going insane about him on his show, and it goes back and forth and back and forth. There's one big circus show between competing carnival barkers, and there's no real discussion about actual issues. Is the sort of fix in?
I think that's a great point, and I think that occurs all too often. And it's not just between folks like Rush Limbaugh and MSNBC. It's amongst all media. You know, for example, I was on a local Fox program not too long ago where we, you know, talked about the bubble or the balloon boy incident and you know, what's the issue here? And the real issue is, why are we talking about it? And, you know, in many ways, the liberal media could just not talk about the stupid things Rush Limbaugh says and vice versa, and they don't. I will say that I don't know if this comes back to, have you ever seen the movie The Last Supper, where the liberal grad students invite conservatives who they think might ruin the world to dinner, and then they ultimately decide whether or not to poison them and kill them? and throughout the movie, there's this guy who is like a Rush Limbaugh character who is like the everything they despise, and in the end, he comes to dinner with them, and he ends up just being so reasonable and saying, oh, you know, this is, I mean, it's entertainment. I'm an entertainer. I'm on TV. I think we should just all get along, and he seems like a reasonable guy. And that could end up being the case with some of these people.
Yeah, I think it's true. I mean, I think that the media is filled with carnival barkers. And I will say this, and I'll bring it back to the issue of Haiti, right? There's a lot of coverage now of Haiti because the images are so, and I'm going to put this in quotes, they're so good. They're good for media in the sense that they're compelling, right? They're voyeuristic. We tune in because and then you ask yourself, well, why am I tuning in to look at this? What am I getting out of this that's like, that I can't do anything about it? It's just horrible. I'm just, it's like I'm passing a car accident and rubbernecking, right? And you ask yourself, in the media, you know, you got these guys, they're down there. Brian Williams is in the, like, you know, the safari jacket, and he's going into the horrible destruction. And you're like, dude, Haiti was one of the 50 poorest countries in the world, and it has been that way for the last, I don't know, 20, 30, 40,
why
50
now?
Years.
Why do we care now?
You know, we care now because it's a spectacular event and a lot of people died at once.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like, you don't really care. You only care because the images are more compelling now. You didn't care about Haiti 2 hours before the earthquake when it was one of the most impoverished countries in the world, right in the shadow of the richest country in the world. And it just goes back to the idea that to be media literate in this society is to understand that what you're being fed most of the time, and I hope not here on AM 760, but most of the time you are watching various forms of carnival barkers. Okay, we got to get a break. 9:53 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. After the break, we're going to try the last beer we're going to try from Oscar Blues Brewery with Chris Katechis in studio, also Mason DeVert in studio as well. Nominate your schmucks of the week. We'll try to take as many of your calls as we can. 303-713-7600 after a traffic update with John Turk.
Well, Dave, I have no music. My computers are frozen up, but I can do traffic without the bump. We got two crashes to avoid. Westbound I-70 near Colorado Boulevard. It's there in the elevated portion of the freeway. Really busy there, beginning at 270. Also a crash at 12th and Sheridan out on the west end of Denver. National Western Stock Show is going on at the National Western Complex. Expect some more traffic on I-25 and I-70 around the Mousetrap today. Your forecast? It's going to be nice today. Sunny, breezy, highs in the upper 40s. Right now, 40 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
It's time to get that boat. Bring the family to the Denver Boat Show at the Colorado Convention Center this weekend. See hundreds of new boats and the latest in boating accessories. Don't miss the Tiki Party Friday and Saturday night, sponsored by your neighborhood Toyota stores. Discount tickets available at denverboatshow.com. Life is better with a boat.
Ah, the perfect Serta mattress. A little plush, a little firm, plenty of support in all the right places. It just makes you want to... Oh. No wonder Serta's called the makers of the world's best mattresses. And you'll always find the best Serta savings at Sam's Club and samsclub.com with incredible members-only prices like queens from just $298 and twins from just $9. Get the perfect deal on the perfect Serta mattress today at Sam's Club. Oh, and rest easy. Sam's Club. Savings made simple.
This week on Colorado State of Mind, the Emmy-winning series on Rocky Mountain PBS. What do legislative leaders on both sides intend to accomplish this session? What is in their control and what isn't? And with a new governor on the way, does the campaign later this year change anything right now under the Golden Dome? The discussion happens on this encore performance of Colorado State of Mind tonight at 7:30 on Rocky Mountain PBS Channel 6. Weigh in anytime at rmpbs.org. Watch Colorado State of Mind tonight at 7:30 on Rocky Mountain PBS.
Attention business owners, don't rent electricity, own it. Learn now at Independent Power Systems Commercial Solar Event. The Coors Field Solar Experts will show you how your business can go solar with low upfront costs and how rebates and federal tax grants can yield a 5 to 7 year ROI. Boulder County business owners can take advantage of the Climate Smart Loan Program to go solar for zero down and one annual payment. Green your business with solar and never pay another electric bill. Learn how in Boulder, Tuesday, January 26th at the St. Julian Hotel and Tuesday, February 2nd at the Dairy Center for the Arts. Visit solarips.com/KKZN for details or call 303-443-0015. In the neighborhood, drop by our Boulder office January 21st at 7 p.m. for the Solar Community Night. Visit solarips.com/KKZN for details or call 303-443-0015. Call 303-443-0015 for details or visit solarips.com/KKZN.
9:56 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're back with Mason DeVert from Colorado Safer and Chris Katechis of Oscar Blues Brewery. You're taking your nominations for Schmuck of the Week. We got a couple more nominations here coming in on AM760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. More for Rush Limbaugh. A lot of people think Rush Limbaugh should be the Schmuck of the Week. Let's get to our last beer here, and we'll take a call. What's our last beer, Chris Katechis?
Well, this one right here is our winter season right here. I'm very happy to pop this beer right now. This is the ever so favorite 1050, which means blank F blank the industry, do it yourself. It's about a 10% imperial stout. It pours like a motor oil.
10% imperial. All right, let's pour it down. We'll go to our last call of the day. Ava in Boulder. Ava, you're on AM 760.
Hi, I just wanted to agree with your assessment of the media. It's like watching wrestling, you know. It's just a big distraction from the real issues, which I think a lot right now are about the banks. You know, it's like nobody's talking about any of that.
And it's
worldwide. I mean, it's multinational corporations against you and me. And
well, I tell you something, Ava. You know, the coverage or lack thereof compared to the size of the crisis, the financial crisis, is absolutely astounding. And you're absolutely right to bring it up. The business press deserves a nomination for Schmuck of the Week. All right, that's the show. Chris Kotecis of Oscar Blues Brewery, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks
for coming in.
Thank
really appreciate
it.
He's going to be at the Argonaut from 3 to 6 today. Mason Tavert, thank you. We'll have you back again, both of you back again. Have a great weekend and drink some Oscar Blues Brew.
Cheers.
Attention, KKZN listeners. Here's an important announcement on identity theft from Police Chief Joe DeLaterrante.
As a police chief, identity theft was always a problem, but never at this level. The New York Times reported the theft of over 130 million credit and debit cards. And with potentially millions of stolen cards hitting the internet, maybe mine, I didn't want to risk it. I signed up for LifeLock. And you should too. Why risk suffering identity theft when just $10 a month helps protect you? You don't need to be a police chief to know that credit monitoring alone doesn't protect you, let alone help repair the damage after your identity or credit cards are stolen. Learn why this police chief chose LifeLock.
KKZN listeners, call now and mention Radio 10 to receive an additional 10% off. That's like 1 month free. Call 1-800-567-5594. 1-800-567-5594. That's 1-800-567-5594. 1-800-567-5594.
Mario Solis Marriage.
TGIB. Today on the Mario Solis Marriage Show, the White House is close to brokering the health care reform deal. The guys from the lowdown will be here y mucho más.
Today at 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Turn to the left with AM 760.